All right, every file completely commercial free. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every one of these shows can be offered to you guys completely commercial free. So, I'd appreciate it if you guys went to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible. Thank you.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yes, so what? Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, working class heroes, suckers and wrestling fans, man boys, women, children, fans of John Edwards. Good morning to you. I think Pete charmed the pants off the country last night and stood his own. Didn't you?
Who?
John Edwards.
Did he? Yeah, he did.
Come
he
on,
did.
Dude. That's
he
Mark
did.
Riley.
He did okay. Good morning.
He stood right up there next to the evil Belzebubba himself, the strange, pale, grimacing, hostile-eyed, reptilian-minded, demonic king of the evil empire.
You forgot the cadaver part.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't
he
see it.
He looked like a kid. I mean, his pallor was like, you know, funeral parlor white.
He's certainly true to himself. He did not disappoint the Cheney evil bastard man.
Oh, no.
He acted exactly the way he was supposed to act. Just like a strange, he was like a giant gargoyle that was being pestered by a small, attractive bug of some kind. Yet that bug had a message. That bug was able to call him a liar to his face. It was beautiful. And John Edwards is no bug. He's a fairly skilled lawyer guy, a very skilled politician who had the facts in front of him and laid them out.
Yeah, and he laid out some stuff that I wasn't sure he was going to actually get to. So on that level, I guess I'd give him style points for that. When he laced into Cheney for not supporting the Martin Luther King holiday, I just, yes, because I was waiting for him to say something about that and Mandela. And he got it both into the same little 90-second block.
Yeah, we're going to hear that in a minute. We're going to catch up on some other stuff before we go full on to the debates. Rodney Dangerfield, dead at 82. Rodney Dangerfield, one of the true American originals.
Yes.
Great comic, great stand-up comic, one of the definers of the craft of stand-up comics, a tragically sad man who had a long run, didn't make his big break until he was like 60 years old when he was asked to do a Caddyshack.
I'm hoping to do the same thing, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Not get my big break till I'm 60 years old.
Okay, well, you can make it, man.
Thanks, folks.
I got a feeling you're going to do it. Me, I don't know.
Well, you'll be fine. You'll have your big break in the next, 2 hours?
Rodney Dangerfield. What's my big break? What's going to happen in 2 hours? You know something? I don't know. Someone bringing in a cake?
hey.
What's going to happen in 2 hours? Rodney Dangerfield was a tremendous support to young comedians. The Rodney Dangerfield specials, the Young Comedian Showcases, broke a lot of comedians. Roseanne Barr, Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kennison, Bill Hicks was one of the early Dangerfield comedian specials, Dom Irrera. He was a big supporter of young comics and a pretty interesting character. Yeah, I remember when I was a doorman at the Comedy Store that sometimes he would come by, not very often, but he would always, he would always come out of the car, wearing his slippers and with his own glass of booze. You know what I mean? I saw one of the weirdest moments, one of the weirdest things I ever saw in stand-up comedy, and I know people out there just, itching to hear about the debates, but
we'll get to it.
Yeah, it was just weird, man. I was in the main room working the door at the Comedy Store one night, and Rodney came by to try, 5-minute set because he was going to be on the Oscars presenting an Oscar. And it was just, he never came in, really. He didn't work the Comedy Store, and he got on stage and he was doing his bit. And after he did his jokes, someone in the audience just raised their hand.
Oh, wow.
And, Dangerfield goes, yeah, what? And this person just goes, Rodney, why are you so sad?
Oh, man.
And, dude, he got this look on his face like he'd been, just shot with a dart. It was like, it came out. It was just such a profound, it just like seemed to kind of like blow past all the layers of his persona and hit him right in the heart. He's like, what kind of question is that? And And he got off stage and he said, I'm never coming back to this place. The weirdest room I've ever worked in my life.
Really?
It was just a bad moment. And then as time goes on, you find that the guy had depression problems. And later in life, he found some relief in medication that wasn't self-medication. And, I don't know, he had some happiness towards the end. So, you know, it's good, man. I mean, he was really, he was one of the guys. He's an archetype. He's an American comedy archetype.
You know, when you told that story, you know what the first thing I was thinking about was? When Chaney last night reacted to Edwards talking about his family,
yeah,
and said, "Gee, that was really nice," and essentially just let the whole thing drop. He had, I think, 30 seconds to say something, and he said one sentence, and that was essentially it. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's a weird thing when people have heart problems, as Chaney does, and I noticed this also with David Letterman, is that. You know, when people have either heart surgery or prolonged or chronic heart problems, they have a fairly direct line to that sadness. You know, they have a very direct line to their heart. Like, you know, Letterman became a much more human and giving person after he had open heart surgery, because it must be horrifying. And I'm not trying to be sympathetic with Dick Cheney, but I think that as that demon gets older and he realizes his days are numbered, both as a politician and, you know, as a human on the planet, you know, I think he does have some access to that strange chamber in his chest that is probably half robotic.
Was he looking down at his heart through most? I mean, because if you notice the debate last night, he looked down as much as he looked up. It was almost 50-50. And I'm wondering, you know, I can't figure he has that many notes in front of him.
Well, I think that he actually, as I've said before, he's capable of having several small heart attacks during any public engagement. Just like, so there's really no way to know. Not unlike a baby, when it's smiling, you don't know whether it's gas or not. So when, you know, Cheney's eyes bug out or that one part of his mouth curls up or down, it's really not clear whether or not he's having a small heart attack or not. And clearly, you know, I think Edwards, you know, took a couple shots at him, and it was really good. There's a couple that I think we'll play in a minute here that were really solid and called him out on all the stuff we've been calling him out on, you know, for months now.
Yeah.
You know, I find all this stuff it's amazing, but it gets a little tedious that, you know, it's really incredible the commitment that Cheney can put into lying and how much he is able to just sort of, with his, you know, sort of bile ridden drive, just kind of push through these lies in a very cocky and defensive manner, and no one expects anything less than that from that guy.
Absolutely. And when stuff sticks, he simply ignores it. Mm-hmm. When Edwards ran the litany of his faux pas in Congress, Cheney never addressed any of them directly.
And also the thing about him, like, just the way he plays politics is that these guys know, he knows, there's plenty of people out there that are only going to react to his defensiveness. There's plenty of people out there that support the Bush-Cheney ticket that operate, you know, solely on fear and just, you know, meanness. And that, you know, his disposition plays to those people. And when he says something like, you know, "I've never met you before," to prove that, you know, as, you know, the leader,
we're strangers. Yeah, yeah.
Right. That because he oversees the Senate and the Congress, that, you know, that, you know, he's basically implying that Edwards doesn't show up much.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that, you know, they have met before. And they've met quite a few
couple
times.
Couple times before.
You know, Cheney thanked Edwards at the National Prayer Breakfast. You know, Senator Edwards, you know, was, you know, they've met on several occasions. And this was just a way of him dismissing him and belittling him. But it's just not true. All these guys know each other. I mean, John Edwards, you know, after, if you watched it on C-SPAN, was introducing him to his family. And, you know, there was there was a candid environment.
Look, how in the world can it, now, this is a guy who, by the way, escorted Liddy Dole to be sworn in by Dick Cheney. Okay, that's a Senate tradition, by the way, that the ranking senator, the senior senator, in a particular state, will escort the junior senator, the senator to be, up to be sworn in. Cheney, as president of the Senate, swore Liddy Dole in with John Edwards at his side. Now, how would he say that he's never, "Well, this is the first time I'm meeting you"? But that's only part of the nonsense. One of the things that we ought to be, any of you who are going to watch ABC News later on this morning, will find out that they did a poll that essentially said that 43% said Cheney won the debate, 35% said Edwards won the debate, and 19% called it a tie. Now, the fact is, 38% of the viewers were Republicans, 31% were Democrats. So you have a 7% skew right there. Now, when they did the first debate between Bush and Kerry, the fact is that it was split 35-35 between Democrats and Republicans. So when you see that most people think Cheney won the debate, it's because most of the people they polled were Republicans. Right. So, you know, let's be clear about that right off the top, because CBS did a different poll that said Edwards won the debate.
Screw the polls.
There you go.
The truth of the matter is that, you know, it was a good engagement. It was in terms of how it unfolded, it was better than the presidential debate, and that these guys were carrying a lot of the details of policy and were able to be, you know, a lot more sort of like engaged with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they were commenting to each other. They felt there was a humanness to the whole thing, and there was a lot of stuff that was talked about. And, it didn't have the same, it didn't feel like it was a slam dunk for anybody, but it did feel like these were two guys that were going at it. And I think, obviously, I believe that Edwards looked a lot better in terms of what he was saying. I think there was an eagerness to him that and an excitement about it.
An eagerness to engage.
Yes, but he was polite and respectful, almost to a fault. We will be back with some highlights from the debate. We will also be back with John Nichols, who has written a book about Dick Cheney, to sort of explore that a little bit and much more. It's 16 past the hour here on Air America Radio.
This is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
As a pharmacist, I get lots of questions this time of year. It's the season for scrapes, itchy bug bites, and rashes. That's why I recommend Maximum Strength Gold Bond Cream and First Aid Spray for fast, soothing relief. Gold Bond Cream has two maximum strength medicines that are proven to relieve pain and itch really fast. And Gold Bond First Aid Spray, in an easy-to-use pump, helps stop pain and itch. Plus, it helps kill germs that can lead to infection. This summer, get Gold Bond and get fast, soothing relief you can trust.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, Dave Matthews, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. Well, if you're a writer, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 8.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Everyone knows what happens when we join together. We get stronger. That's why community groups like the PTA, clubs, and even faith groups can do so much for our community, especially fighting to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups even stronger? It's called a community coalition. A community coalition helps local groups get together and fight to keep kids away from drugs. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
Then I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the year. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
The hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio's Morning's Edition. Kayla on the board. Clutch Larson in the booth. Brendan P.W. McDonald working the phones. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis. Linda Pashman is off in the darkness somewhere finding something that we might need later. And then, of course, we've got Kent the Colonel Jones upstairs doing the big work.
Oh, so you're not calling him the wizard anymore?
Right? No, you put the kibosh on that, right?
What I said, what I call the grand wizard, is that there? Yeah, I didn't want to make a Klan reference with the guy, because Ken's a really good guy, all right?
Yeah, but it's touchy, you know. He is from Kansas. Isn't he? Or
Missouri. From Missouri to you.
Missouri, you know, and there's a... I don't know if Missouri is known for its racial tolerance. Is it in the...
St. Louis is.
St. Louis is, yes.
St. Louis
true.
Produced
that's
Miles
true.
Davis.
Yeah, but producing and being known for racial tolerance is different.
Dude. Oh, actually, I think he was from East St. Louis, which is not in Missouri.
Chuck Berry from St. Louis
St.
as
Louis,
well.
Yeah.
Couldn't play St. Louis until years later. He went back and very intentionally played the best theater in town, the one they wouldn't let him
in.
Did
before,
you see
yeah.
that, the Keith Richards producer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk to John Nichols now. He is the Washington editor of The Nation. He's down in Cleveland about the wrestling match last night. John Nichols, how are you?
Mark and Mark, I'm here.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. So you know the workings of the Cheney brain, and you know what you saw last night. Who won?
Well, first off, I'm glad you're playing Beast of Burden.
Yeah, yes.
Anytime Cheney's on, you know, you're always watching to see when he opens his mouth whether the bats fly out.
I'm always looking for a lizard to crawl out of his nostril into his ear. That's where I go with it.
Kind of stuff we're really looking for, and of course we were all disappointed.
Red tie, good choice. Red tie.
That was good.
It matched the horns, which I guess he chose not to really show last night.
Well, you know, it's a little comb over, you can cover up a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So what'd you think, man? What'd you think? What was the lowdown?
Look, the bottom line is that, you know, we always talk about how expectations are lowered for George Bush. Expectations are super lowered for Dick Cheney. If he doesn't climb across the table and strangle the other guy, it's called a win.
Yeah.
And in this case, Cheney's getting, you know, relatively high marks. But I got to tell you, I think that first 20 minutes of the debate was fantastic. It
yeah.
was one of the most amazing, like, actually good debates I've ever seen. Because here you had these two guys who clearly didn't like each other. And that's a good start. And, you know, Cheney, I mean, it was amazing. Gwen Ifill asked the first question. She actually says, you know, look, everybody in the administration, even Donald Rumsfeld, says there's no Iraq-Al-Qaeda connection. How come you keep saying it? And, of course, in really one of the rare feats in American debate history, Cheney hit the land speed record for distortion in a public setting.
Yeah. It happens, it's reflexive.
The only honest statement in his answer to the first question was, say a thank you to the people of Cleveland. Beyond that, it was just flat lie. And, you know, complete bull. But the nice thing was, and I give credit to Edwards. This is why I give Edwards the win. Edwards came right back, and he just said, look, you are not being straight with the American people. There is no Iraq Al-Qaeda connection, but you've been going around the country saying it. Now, Donald Rumsfeld says it doesn't exist. Colin Powell says it doesn't exist. And you owe it to the American people to stop saying that. Now, to me, that made the whole debate worthwhile. And it's very interesting. The pundits who don't like to talk about this stuff, you know, all the Washington TV guys.
Mm-hmm. The sycophants?
You got it. I call them stenographers.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're all like, oh, well, you know, it was really kind of a draw. I'm sorry. I think the American people called it better. CBS did an instant poll, and it was almost 2-1 that Edwards won it. I think the people who are saying Edwards won it, they heard those initial kind of dust-ups, and they were glad that somebody finally called Dick Cheney on his incredible lies about this war.
John, did Edwards go back to that particular theme too often during the course of the debate?
No, I don't think. You know, look, debates are a complicated thing because people watch them sporadically. You know, most Americans, I hate to tell you, are not sitting there with their notepads scoring each candidate. They're walking out to get a Coke or go to the bathroom and put the kid to bed. So a little repetition is relatively healthy. To be honest, I would have liked it better, and I'm serious about this, if Edwards had, you know, he did a nice hit on the Halliburton stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a very nice hit on Cheney's congressional voting record, capping off of those proud votes to keep Nelson Mandela in jail.
Yep.
I would have liked him to repeat those. I don't think coming back to those themes hurts, because Cheney is the most undercovered political leader in this country's history. He's been let off the hook again and again. And every time you bring up the reality of his voting record or his business record, I think you really take a piece out of him.
Now, isn't that weird that he's the most undercovered political personality in the world, yet he is really the leader of the free world in terms of being the most powerful person?
There's simply no question. That's what I write about in the book. And, you know, when you take apart this administration and look at it seriously, you start to realize, you know, gosh, there's sort of something coincidental going on here. The guy who headed the vice presidential selection task force is the guy who headed the transition team. And he's the same guy that headed the energy task force and the non-existent anti-terrorism task force, and who was the point man on the tax cuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like devious the web. We got to go, John. I know you got to catch a plane. The book is Dick, the Man Who Was President. John Nichols is our guest. Good. Have a good flight.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Coming up, the president's farm pilot, the liberal agenda, direct from the Streisand compound, and much, much more on the president, vice presidential debates when we continue here on Air America Radio.
This week on MotherJones.com, dealing with the merchant of death. And you thought Halliburton was bad. It turns out that the Bush crowd has hired an airline company tied to Victor Boot, one of the world's most notorious arms traffickers, to run charter missions for the U.S. military in Iraq. Get the full story at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Oreck tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation's gonna be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, Caroscopes for Gemini and Cancer.
I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Here are Caroscopes for Gemini and Cancer. Gemini, the twins pair perfectly with a Prius hybrid. Just like the versatile, out-of-the-box, always-on-the-move people born under this sign, the Prius epitomizes the power of duality with its electric motor and gasoline engine. Bluetooth technology and unmatched gas mileage are just two reasons to buy. Cancer. Okay, you dreamy moon child, sign of many moods, it's no secret that you love attention, and you'll get plenty in BMW's 6 Series convertible. Your crabby side will hide itself as you pilot this iDriving beauty, which motors like a dream and cleverly divides the cockpit into two zones, driving and comfort. I'll take both. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Hey, this is G-Lo, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power. One place where your voice counts, where you can make things change or make a difference. See, it's the voting booth, and it only takes a few minutes to register to vote. So what's your excuse? Get all the information you need at theheadcount.org. Yeah, your vote counts. We're serious. Check, check, check it out.
Since Hurricane Charley slammed into Florida on August 13th, the Red Cross has provided refuge to nearly 286,000 residents, served more than 5.6 million meals, and offered mental health services to more than 23,500 disaster victims. All American Red Cross disaster assistance is made possible by voluntary donations of time and money from the American people. Help the victims of the recent hurricanes by making a financial gift to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund and calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
You love the game, you love your team, and you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Game continues 34 past the hour. We're fighting for our lives here. Oh, why don't they talk about what it, I can't. Oh, help, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. It's
Morning
Sedition. You people are tremendous. Just tremendous. Let's get into it, Riley. Let's do this thing. Let's pull the parts from the debate where Edwards kicks some butt after I do this, which, you know, Ramon, a little late today. You know, I got to have time to read these things before. Why doesn't he talk on the air? Ramon, what is he so afraid of, man? And enough with the stupid sunglasses.
Found out is what he's afraid of.
Ugh, it's just like enough with that. Presidential Palm Pilot, this is the schedule for the AWOL Blow Monkey Faux Christian puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. 6:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. Kerry is a flip-flopper. No, soft on terror. No, French. No, damn it, nothing sticking to this guy. 7:30 a.m., review last night's debate video. Wow, this Cheney guy really isn't very likable, is he? Is it too late to get Giuliani? 10:10 a.m., discuss the war on terror and the economy. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Note, Don't mention the war on the economy. We're losing that one. Big time. 3:15 p.m. Speak at Victory 2004 rally, Farmington Hills, Michigan. Note, why is there a question mark after the word victory? 6:45 p.m. Arrived back in Washington. Note, why is there no one here to greet me when I get back? It was just one debate, people. 7 p.m. Rehearsed for Friday's debate. Note, wrong war, right place. Wrong, no. Right war, wrong place. Wait, that's not it. Wait, this is hard work. 8 p.m. Have White House staff bring me dinner. 9 p.m. Still no dinner. Have to make it myself. Note, it was just one debate, people. 12 midnight. Bedtime. Note, maybe I should use an earpiece next time. I'm sick of making my own dinner. This is hard work. So let's get into it. Let's find these pieces that Edwards really, you know, took him to task. Let's support Edwards in his assaults and get into it, Riley. What do we got?
All right. Well, first and foremost, there are going to be some people down in Wilkes-Barre. I know this because I actually have a person I went to school with who's down there who are going to be protesting Bush's being there. But Cheney last night came out of the gate talking about Iraq, of course, because he was asked about Iraq by Gwen Ifill, the moderator.
Uh-huh.
And he continued to make the now discredited linkage between Iraq, Al-Qaeda, the war on terror, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? John Edwards called him on it virtually at the beginning. Cheney said toppling Saddam was the right thing to do, and Edwards shot right back.
Mr. Vice President, you are still not being straight with the American people. I mean, the reality, you and George Bush continue to tell people, first, that things are going well in Iraq. The American people don't need us to explain this to them. They see it on their television every single day. We lost more troops in September than we lost in August. Lost more in August than we lost in July. Lost more in July than we lost in June. The truth is, our men and women in uniform have been heroic. Our military has done everything they've been asked to do. And it's not just me that sees the mess in Iraq. There are Republican leaders like John McCain, like Richard Lugar, like Chuck Hagel, who've said Iraq is a mess and it's getting worse. And when they were asked why, Richard Lugar said, because of the incompetence of the administration. What Paul Bremer said yesterday is they didn't have enough troops to secure the country. They also didn't have a plan to win the peace. They also didn't put the alliances together to make this successful. We need a fresh start. We need a president who will speed up the training of the Iraqis, get more staff in for doing that. We need to speed up the reconstruction so the Iraqis see some tangible benefit. We need a new president who has the credibility, which John Kerry has, to bring others into this effort.
Cheney's sitting there thinking, I could burn this guy's flesh with my breath from here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, why do I have to listen to this? Doesn't he know who I am?
He looked kind of peeved, didn't he? He looked like, why? Yeah, exactly. Why do I have to listen to this?
Peeved. His eyes are always darting around, and he looks like, I can't tell if it's, you know, paralyzed with some sort of deep fear that his heart could explode at any second, or actually just, you know, full of fury. But, you know, Edwards definitely delivered a punch there. It was great. I mean, I'm actually starting to believe that Edwards is a genuine nice guy.
Well, you know, he may be a nice guy, but I think he brought out, I thought at one point Cheney was actually calling on the lizard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really looked that way.
Yeah, when he hit back on a couple of things about Iraq and about, you know, about this president's, you know, focus and drive and, you know, the right thing, the right guy at the right time, it definitely felt that he was drawing from the fire. But, you know, I'm not, you know, questioning Edwards' genuineness. It's just like I tend to doubt a little bit all politicians initially, just on, in terms of, like, you know, where's the difference between the act and the person?
You doubt a politician?
Yeah. Where's the act and the person? And there were moments there where, you know, I mean, a lot of moments where Edwards really sort of, you know, came through and like, wow, this guy's sort of a sweet dude and he means well and he's saying the right things.
But, you know, his brother-in-law yesterday mentioned that there's a little steeliness underneath that. And we saw that, particularly when Dick Cheney went about the business of trying to salvage John Edwards' record in the United States Senate. Let's listen to that exchange.
The Vice President, I'm surprised to hear him talk about records. When he was one of 435 members of the United States House, he was one of 10 to vote against Head Start, one of 4 to vote against banning plastic weapons that can pass through metal detectors. He voted against the Department of Education. He voted against funding for Meals on Wheels for seniors. He voted against a holiday for Martin Luther King. He voted against a resolution calling for the release of Nelson Mandela in South Africa. It's amazing to hear him criticizing either my record or John Kerry's.
30 seconds.
No, I think his record speaks for itself, and frankly, it's not very distinguished.
It's hilarious because, you know, if you look at Cheney's legislative career, all right, just in numbers, in the, you know, in the six Congresses he was involved with, mm-hmm. and out of, like, you know, some 30-odd, you know, laws he sponsored, two actually became law.
Yeah.
Out, you know, out of, like, you know, out of 30-some-odd, you know, bits of legislation that he actually got behind, two out of 30-some-odd laws.
Yeah, this is from the 96th through 101st Congresses. That's a term spanning 12 years of his time in the House of Representatives.
Because clearly what he was doing was sitting there, working the angles, figuring out everybody's personality, understanding everyone's weaknesses, figuring out how the whole system works and how he can exploit it to his best ability, how he can integrate his business interests into his politics seamlessly. The guy is cagey. He doesn't talk much. And when he does talk, it comes from a cauldron of defensive bile that rumbles in his demonic colon 24 hours a day. And the whole system is being pumped by a strange, bankrupt, spiritually corrupt pumper that he is sold to the devil for later use. Now, I'm, you know, that of course is, that last part is not true, but the rest of it is true.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it for a moment. I mean, this is a guy who makes no apologies for those votes. That's why he didn't say anything when John Edwards called him on it. You notice he just said, well, I don't think your record is particularly distinguished. He did not try to defend any of the votes that John Edwards had just run down. In other words, he didn't try to discredit him. He didn't say he didn't do them. He did, in fact, vote against the Martin Luther King holiday. He did, in fact, vote against Meals on Wheels. And, you know, as a guy who's approaching senior citizenhood, one wonders why he would do such a thing.
My ex-wife used to work for Meals on Wheels. It was a very good program. It was a decent thing to do. These people, a lot of them are lonely. They're widows or widowers, and they're at home alone. And not so much that they necessarily can't afford food, but they can't even get out to get food. And they've got no family that brings them food. And, you know, it's a great program. The thing about Cheney, and if you read it in Worse Than Watergate, you know, John Dean's book, which is really just an attack on Dick Cheney. You know, the entire book focuses on his caginess, on his secrecy, on the way he uses power, and also the way that he's completely detached from the American people and doesn't really give a crap about them. And you could see that in a lot of the stuff, the way he was talking last night, was that he panders to the believers. He panders to the people that only want to hear him say mean things or defensive things or you know, just be stubborn. Because that's what some people see as strength, because that's all they have to go on.
That's what I don't understand, Mark. How is it that a guy who so obviously, and you're absolutely right about this, so obviously doesn't give a crap about the American people, why do so many Americans give a crap about him?
Because they're scared. They're scared, and these guys, I think that they're secretly as scared of this administration as they are of terrorists. I think the whole idea that, like, you know, you don't want to change riders in the middle, or whatever the hell that stupid anecdote is. You don't want to change guys in the, you know,
horses in midstream.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, that, you know, that is basically saying that, you know, you should be equally as afraid of us as you are of the terrorists. I think it is. Because, you know, I think my assumption is that people, even the people that are starting to switch sides a little bit, the indecisive voters that are starting to move towards Kerry, every time that, you know, someone like Cheney shows up or any of these Republican operatives show up, they start to realize that there is just too much negative buzz, too many lies, too many scandals, too much weirdness floating around this administration that they're completely untrustable. So it's my belief, and this is I'm psychoanalyzing, which I shouldn't do. I've been criticized for doing it before.
Go ahead, do it.
But my instinct is that, you know, people are as afraid as Dick Cheney as they are of Osama bin Laden, and these are people that support Dick Cheney.
You know, it's interesting that he didn't have to really speak directly to two very damning stories that came out just yesterday. One is the Dulfer Report. Dulfer, of course, is Charles A. Dulfer, the chief U.S. weapons inspector inside Iraq. He concluded that Saddam Hussein had the desire but not the means
to
produce
unconventional
weapons.
This sounds like something we should talk about after the break.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hey, you guys, remember, there are two kinds of Americans, voters and morons. Register to vote through our link at morningsedition.com. Please, will you? Thanks.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear and the communications equipment and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Sirius. It's on.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joe DiMassina, for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The winds have died down. The rainfalls have ceased, and the devastation left behind from Hurricane Ivan's rampage through the Caribbean is now becoming clear. Grenada was hit hard. Every primary and secondary school on the island was either destroyed or badly damaged. Now, St. George's University needs your help in their effort to rebuild the island schools. Call 1-800-899-6337 to give a helping hand to Grenada's youngsters. 1-800-899-6337. And thank you from the people of Grenada.
Sirius Radio.
The 2000 election was decided by only 537 votes. Your vote makes a difference. Take the first step, register. Go to justvote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the instructions. It's your democracy, make it work. Justvote.org.
6:50 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Not quite the spectacle I was looking for last night, Mark Riley, but a spectacle nonetheless, and certainly encouraging and exciting. I want to remind people that take some of Cheney's advice and do yourself a favor. Go to factcheck.com.
Yes.
Please do that because it's important, and Dick Cheney was absolutely right in saying that if you want to check that out to see, you know, what's important about him,
go to factcheck.com.
Very important. I also want to say that time is running out. Voter registration deadlines in swing states. Wednesday, October 6th, Missouri. Friday, October 8th, Minnesota, North Carolina. You can also register in person in Minnesota on the day of Election Day. October 12th, Nevada and Oregon. October 13th in West Virginia. October 20th, Wisconsin. You may also register in person on Election Day in Wisconsin. October 23rd, Iowa and New Hampshire. New Hampshire will not accept national voter registration forms because New Hampshire is New Hampshire.
Yes.
Live free or die, right?
Yeah.
November 2nd, Maine. Good morning, Portland. Thank you for fighting for us.
Yes.
Very impressive. We appreciate it.
And that's day of registration, because that's the election day, November 2nd.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I better register.
By the way.
See how easy that happened?
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are saying right now to themselves. You better register, because these election offices, are a lot of them are understaffed, which, whether it's part of the conspiracy or not, I don't know. But you don't want to get into a situation where your paperwork isn't processed properly. Give yourself, 14 hours.
Yeah. Now, the deadline here in New York is this coming Friday, and there is an advocacy group in New York that is pledging to register 20,000 people in New York City alone. And, of course, this doesn't come up because New York is considered a blue state. It's considered solidly in Kerry's corner. But they're talking about registering 20,000 people between now and midnight Friday.
Man.
So
they're ready, though.
They're ready.
That's right.
They're ready. And we need to be ready. People who cherish democracy in this country, people who cherish the free exchange of ideas and the right to dissent in this country, everybody that cherishes the rights that we have better be ready for November 2nd.
I just went off on some sort of weird drift on the color blue in my head. I was like, wow, kind of blue, Miles Davis. Blue is kind of like melancholy and pensive, but blue is also the color of victory, and it's part of better. It's better than red. I'm like, I'm sitting here weighing, the prism in my head. What? I'm tired. Hey. So let's do this, man. It looks like more documents coming out to once again say that the Bush crew, the cabal, the neocon death cult, liars, and completely misguided and went to war on false pretenses. Keeps coming out, Riley.
A 1,000-page report. This is by Charles Dulfer, chief U.S. weapons inspector in Iraq. He concluded that Saddam Hussein had the desire but not the means to produce unconventional weapons. Now, this is significant in that in the time since the war in Iraq, Iran and North Korea not only had the desire but the means, and they have in fact produced nuclear weapons. During the time that the United States decided to use the threat of nuclear weapons as a pretext to invade Iraq. And if that weren't bad enough, Paul Bremer, who was last heard from hopping a plane out of Baghdad.
Paul the haircut Bremer?
Yeah, just as they were doing the two-day early handover of power.
Yeah.
And Bremer caught the first thing smoking back. Well, he's reappeared.
The viceroy in the suit?
That's the one. Well, he is saying now that there were not enough troops on Earth. Why he couldn't say this while he was in Baghdad is beyond me. But now he is saying what a lot of people have said, including General Shinseki and many others, that there were not enough troops on the ground in Iraq to win the peace. Same thing John Edwards said last night.
Right, and Cheney kept saying, that's not true because the Iraqis are helping out. They're buffering our troops. There's going to be plenty more. The Iraqis should take responsibility, but they haven't been able to manage that issue at all because most Iraqis, a lot of them, are against the U.S. occupation. Many of them are becoming insurgents that weren't insurgents before. There are alliances being made between jihadists, ex-Baathists, and just angry people.
Yes.
And there's no diplomacy in sight, and, it's a really horrendous place to be for secular Iraqis who want nothing more than to have, a little bit of relief from this.
Yeah, and one of the things that Cheney did during the debate, and he did this on a number of occasions on a number of different issues, is to take little bits of information, distort them, and then point them back at the Kerry Edwards ticket.
He had an overdrive like knob, like you have an amp. You know what I mean? It just all of a sudden is like, yeah!
feeling like, what just happened? Well, that was a lie reverberating through my skull.
Yeah, and he kept hammering at certain issues, certain little things. The global test issue is one example of saying, on the one hand, the Bush administration would not go after Iran the same way they went after Iraq because Iran had not violated UN sanctions. But on the other hand, savaging Kerry for saying that one of the things that has to happen is there has to be a consensus before America takes action to defend its own security.
So they're being hypocritical.
Extremely.
Cheney wants to put other countries in charge of containing Iran, which is considered by Bush to be part of the axis of evil.
Yes.
So they're doing exactly what they're accusing Kerry of wanting to do. They're actually actively doing it. They're having it both ways. See, that's what these crafty bastards do. That's the whole sort of Cheney way, is like, if you get enough people talking out there, you can contradict each other, and you know, people will just hear the ones they want to hear, and usually the people that believe in this agenda, as I said, are frightened, defensive, stubborn people.
And he did the same thing, Mark, with North Korea, saying, well, we can't have bilateral talks, we can't sit down with the North Koreans by ourselves, we have to have the Chinese, and the Russians, and the South Koreans, and the Japanese all at the table. Well, gee, isn't that the same kind of thing that Kerry was talking about in terms of building consensus?
And the same kind of things that they were saying, we would never ask another country
what to do
in terms of our national security.
Or have veto power over our national security.
A lot of contradictions.
Yeah, because the North Koreans are building nuclear weapons every day almost.
We're going to have to get into this in the next hour. We're also going to get into some of the fear of overturning Roe versus Wade.
Oh, that's scary.
That is scary, and we're going to have to do that after the top of the next hour. Now, of course, the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down here, your marching orders today. One, after Cheney's toxic appearance, point out Cleveland now qualifies for federal disaster aid. Two, call Springsteen. Demand to know why he keeps interrupting the message with all that music. Three, new yoga poses, downward facing Bush. And the Kerry Lotus lion posture. Four, for Halloween, organized pagans for Kerry, midnight graveyard rally. Agenda, child care for working Wiccans. Mm-hmm. Five, today's phrase to drop it into conversation. What about a debate between the candidates' wives, man? They're only 55% of the planet. Hello? So let's lay it out. What's coming up next?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, more from last night's vice presidential debate. We're going to talk a bit about abortion, as Mark Maron said. The Dream Diaries on tap, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the War on Brains, all coming up for you on Air America Radio.
Score. Counselors to America's Small Business has helped millions of entrepreneurs, and they can help you too. Call upon SCORE for free and confidential business advice. SCORE can help you start a small business or take your business to new heights. If you'd like confidential, no-fee counseling so you can improve your business, call SCORE for assistance. 1-800-634-0245. That's 1-800-634-0245.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush knows he has a lot of explaining to do after two bombshell developments surfaced on his handling and reasons for going into Iraq in the last 48 hours. The developments are statements made by former top American administrator in Iraq, Paul Bremer, and the final U.S. inspection report on the war in Iraq. Both developments are unfavorable to the Bush administration. Yesterday, Bush sent out his surrogates to provide a counterspin to the damage done by Bremer and the report. This while his speechwriter spent the day putting together a major response to be delivered today in Pennsylvania. White House is calling today's impending address a significant speech on the war on terrorism and the economy. White House spokesman Scott McClellan yesterday announced a change in Bush's agenda, citing a shift in the president's intended address today. The president decided to turn the spotlight back on the war in Iraq after last week's debate and just 2 days before his next debate with John Kerry. Government's most definitive account of Iraq's arms program will be released today. The report will show that Saddam Hussein posed a diminishing threat at the time the United States invaded Iraq. The report also concludes that Hussein did not possess or have concrete plans to develop nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons. The 1,000-page report will be formally handed over to the Senate Armed Services Committee later on. It's still too early to gauge an accurate poll of what most Americans watching the vice presidential debate last night felt, but both sides are claiming victory this morning. There's no question that Democrat John Edwards made a favorable showing for the team, pouncing on the incumbent Dick Cheney on a variety of issues. Washington editor of The Nation, John Nichols, agrees as he discussed last night's debate with Air America's Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Morning's Edition.
I give credit to Edwards. This is why I give Edwards the win. Edwards came right back and he just said, look, you are not being straight with the American people. There is no Iraq Al-Qaeda connection, but you've been going around the country saying it. Now, Donald Rumsfeld says it doesn't exist, Colin Powell says it doesn't exist, and you owe it to the American people to stop saying that. Now, to me, that made the whole debate worthwhile.
Washington editor of The Nation, John Nichols. Some 3,000 American and Iraqi forces have again launched a major offensive against the insurgents. This time the target was the south of Baghdad. It was their second mission in as many days in their bid to wrest control from militants who have attacked with great ease and taken a number of Iraqi nationals with them. Some of the latest offensive was in Babil province. It's an area notorious for kidnappings and ambush attacks. Last week, the focus on the American-backed counteroffensive was Samarra, some 60 miles north. Both Iraqi and American forces have recently gone into action against the insurgents following a series of attacks in various Iraqi localities and a string of beheadings. And Great Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair trekked to the African nation of Sudan today to meet with government officials as part of his ongoing Western effort to end the bloodshed in Darfur province. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likens with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, caroscopes for Aries and Taurus. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. Here are caroscopes for Aries and Taurus. Aries, the zodiac's birth by Aries, its first sign. A combination of sweet and strong rams bond beautifully with a VW Touareg newborn. Motor Trend's SUV of the year, which features heated leather seats, V8 engine, killer navigation system, and electronic parking assistance for horning in tight spaces. Taurus. Practical Taurans will turn heads despite themselves as they charge out of the pasture in a Magnum, the all-new sport wagon that Dodge describes as an unmatched combination of performance, packaging, and price. The Magnum is muscled by a Hemi, so it's one fine ride. And that's no bull. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that
The battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those edges?
Dad, please.
Think of the tremor as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
What is that? Yeah, all right, I'll do that.
Steve Reich!
Why is that doing that? That's not my noise. How are you, folks? Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. Working class heroes.
I like that.
People who believe Echinacea works. Wrestling fans, suckers, and readers of Roland Barthes. Good morning to all of yous.
Hey,
yeah,
all
that's
of yous.
Right. That's Mark Riley there. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, man.
Man, you know, the Edwards-Cheney debate was good. Edwards did it. He stood up to the evil fire of the mass. Hold on a minute. Now I got Clutch Larson in my head when he's supposed to be talking to you, Kalo.
Yeah, in my head.
Turn that knob off. What happened? Did somebody come in here on the break and mess with my knobs? Did somebody turn the distortion up like Cheney did last night? He's got a built-in distortion knob on his pacemaker. Things just come out of him distorted. Horrendous.
Distorted and false in many instances.
Oh, my God. What else do you want? Rodney Dangerfield dead.
At 82.
Yeah. Man. So young.
That's right.
You know, he lived it. You know, he was a sad fellow, but one of the great comics, a comedic archetype, a real American original, a guy who set the precedent for the poor me character, for the the hopeless schlub with a certain amount of fidgety attitude. Without Rodney Dangerfield, there's no Dave Attell, there's no Jim Norton, there's no a lot of people.
You know what's funny about him?
There's a certain type of person. Him and Rickles really defined a certain type of comedy. Rickles, though, an insult comic, there was a certain amount of self-deprecation at the core of him. But at Rodney Dangerfield, the entire thing was self-deprecating, real sadness, a real Pagliacci dude.
It's funny with him because I think here in New York, he kind of got a reputation when he opened his club, Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And he seemed to always be there. I mean, I used to always run into people who were walking up First Avenue for some reason here in New York.
At the beginning.
And they said, oh, man, I was walking up First Avenue. I used to see Rodney. I saw Rodney. He was standing out in front of the club or whatever. And he kind of got that, he kind of adopted the persona of a sort of people's comedian.
That's
a guy
right.
who was, like, always at his spot.
Well, he was, yeah, it was like a holding court kind of thing.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Was, he used to hang around that club in his bathrobe. You know, he'd sit at the bar. He was always there. I never go in there. The place, I've really never worked in Dangerfield. It's one of the only clubs in the city that I just, I don't go into. I don't know why. He hasn't been there in years.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's a bad place. It's just, it's got a vibe, man. It's, it's a little dark, you know. It's a little heavy.
Well, you figure they're maybe putting flowers in front of it now or something?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they've got planned. You know, Rodney, thank God, towards the end of his career, you know, towards the end of his life here, he found some relief with medication. It turns out he was, you know, chronically and biologically depressed, and he was one of those people that found a lot of relief in medication. I worked with his daughter over at HBO, a really sweet girl, you know, and he was just, you know, he was a funny bastard.
He was funny. He was a very funny man.
And he really championed young comics. You know, he was very supportive of young comics. He made a lot of young comics' career. So before we get to the debates, the cats are fine. The orange one that I call Monkey. I've got three names. I've got Monkey, I've got Meanie, and I've got LaFonda. And then
LaFonda?
Yeah. And then there's my wife named that one.
Ah.
Meanie will not engage with me at all. She's got problems. Monkey is becoming just a love master. He is like, he's his little, great little orange cat. The black and white one, who I don't have a name for yet, is coming around. You know, but what always amazes me is what goes on in that room when I am not there. I don't even know, you know, how, what happens. Like, when you walk, like, if I wake up in the morning, because they're nocturnal. Mm-hmm. So they're all day, they're kind of half asleep. And then at night, like, I'll go to sleep, I'll wake up, and I'll walk into my office, and they built a shelf. I don't even understand, you know, it's like, everything's a mess, but they built a shelf, and they're looking at internet porn, which is weird, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Cats. Yeah, they have, they've got something going on. Another story I wanted to share that was weird. I was in the subway the other day, and there was this group of people, a guy and like six or seven women. And the guy comes up to me and goes, wow, like, you're Marc Maron. I'm a really big fan. And I'm like, wow, that's me. And, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I'm almost too humble with fans. Like, did you ever see Almost Famous, the movie that I'm in briefly? Very powerful 45 seconds of cinema, much more powerful than the Sprint commercial. Here, let me, which was only maybe 14 seconds of film. Here, I like to do this for Kayla because he loves the movie. Wait, I'll do it. I'll do it live, Kayla.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Lock the gates! Lock the gates!
That was it.
That was my big part. But there's a part in that movie where Lester Bangs, you know.
I remember him.
He says to the main character, the kid, it's like, what do you think I'm gonna, you know, I have time to hang around with a fan all day? And then they cut to the two of them hanging out, you know, which is so me, you know, like I'm with fans up to the point. Really, you like, you're a fan? Well, what are you guys doing? Where are you guys headed? You know,
go to a party.
Yeah. But this guy's like, yeah, I said, so what brings you to New York? And he says, yeah, I've seen you on Tough Crowd, I've seen you on TV, we're from Oklahoma, we're here on a mission. And they were a Christian group.
Oh, that kind of mission.
Wow. Which always, like, I'm like, which jokes of mine do you? Yeah. But, you know, but I also get immediately very sort of devil's advocate. I get kind of insidious and evil with people who I know are strong believers and fans of mine, because I figure that, you know, they like the challenge, you know. And the weirdest thing is they come from Oklahoma once a year. He said, yeah, we come out once a year and we feed the homeless. And I'm like, well, how long are you here for? And he says, for a week. I'm like, so what happens after the week? Do you just like, all right, well, it's great seeing you guys again. Of course, not all of you are here from last year, but good luck.
Good luck, and you're on your own now.
You know, but he said, no, that's not it. It's a large organization, and they have missions from different areas that come in and do it, and it's very noble work. And it was a nice conversation, you know, but it was just, it's very funny because all of the women that were there were, you know, they were young. They were, you know.
Nubile.
Well, you know, Riley, I'm not going there.
Okay.
Right, but the fact is, is that they're all sort of, you know, either born again or at least, you know, into doing this Christian mission work.
Mm.
And there's just part of me that's just sort of like,
you just
know,
wanted to mess with them, didn't you?
Yes,
I knew it.
I knew it. I remember one time right after I got back from L.A., you know, and I was, you know, completely saturated with, you know, cocaine withdrawal and bordering on delusionary, you know, thinking that, you know, I was all important and it might be a secondary deal. Demon that was, you know, not in any of the books. And like Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door. Did I ever tell the story?
No.
And it was these two women, and like I'm wearing this red bathrobe at my parents' house, you know, and I'm like, you know, I got long hair, I'm wild eyed, I'm like, come on in and try and sell me on it. What do you got? Sit down, you want some coffee or how about a little blow? And they freaked out.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure they did.
And
wrong apartment, wrong house.
But you know what, dude? They freaked out and they said, we're going to come back. And I'm like, yeah, sure you're going to come back. Nice try. Thanks for the comic book. You know, but, dude, they came back with a guy. All right.
Oh, okay.
The two women and a guy, just as a buffer, they're like, let's not give up on this guy because he's really lost. Let's bring a guy, you know, and then
who can help him find himself.
I scared him away.
Wow.
So, wait, do we have... there's actually things happening in the world. There are people out there like, why don't they talk about the issues now? Now!
Okay, now we shall.
Now! Let the spectacle begin.
Cheney, yes. Edwards, debate. Yes.
Okay.
Last night.
Okay, let's do it after the break. We'll be back in a second. It's 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Fuck the game!
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-662-8168 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now. 800-662-8168. That's 800-662-8168. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-662-8168.
Serious.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's morning's sedition. Call us. Come on, you guys. 866-303-2270. All of you, give us a call. Tell us what you think. Got any questions? I bet you have some questions. So I got another therapist tomorrow, thank God. Yeah, I'm about to pop. I need to get to a meeting. I don't know what I need, but, man, I am about to explode. And then I have this dream. That one again where I'm where Halliburton buys Air America Radio and I'm the host of the worst morning show ever. Good morning, neocons. This is Mark the Shark Maron with Wright and Hurley. It's 20 after the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, Cheney approved, taxpayer funded. That's right. Speaking of Mr. Dick Cheney, in the debates, he took that flip-flopper Edwards to Abu Ghraib, had a little pain party on his ass, and took some Polaroid. Four more years. Hey, Edwards, guess it'll teach you to deal with real men at beauty college, huh, sweetheart? Put a wig on that guy and I'll take him to prom. It's 22 past the hour. Hey, there's a volcano about to blow out west, and the liberals just sit there and let it happen. Maybe we ought to call France and ask them what to do. Hello, France. This is John Kerry. What do we do about the volcano? I am a wiener. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller. Feminazis, I hate the liberals. Bullseye, caller. I can't believe Edwards even shows his face in public after last night. Know what happens if Edwards wanders into Mark the Shark's property? Yeah, and then maybe a little of this. And how about some of this? Yeah, and then maybe a little of this. Oh, hello, dead liberal disposal. I got a bloody trial lawyer here on my lawn. I want you to take it back to the plant and shove him in the wood chipper. Thanks, dude.
Game over, man.
It's 24.
Game over.
I love that guy. It's 24 after the hour. Time for the Neocon Power Weather Forecast. It's 72 degrees, cloudy with heavy rain, but hey, it's almost about time the homeless took a shower. Be you. Am I right, people? Huh? Am I right? There's no place like home. I woke up and my bed was filled with the home field advantage. Oh, man. I feel possessed when I do that. Possessed.
Nice work.
Feels good to hate loud sometimes.
Every now and then.
So what are we going to listen to now?
Was Cheney hating quiet last night, you think? Was he hating on John Edwards?
Dude, Cheney operates at his own frequency of hate. It's called the Cheney frequency.
Got it all through himself?
Yeah, it's like this, like, it's almost like the volcano. It's just like there's magma at the core of his soul, and it just kind of bubbles and hisses, and you can actually smell sulfur when he's around.
Well, you know, Mark, we were talking earlier about how Dick Cheney contradicted himself in terms of the global test slam that he leveled against John Kerry. At the same time, he differentiated between how this administration treats Iraq and how this administration treats Iran. Let's now go to Dick Cheney and figure out, if we can, exactly what the difference is.
We've got sanctions on Iran now. We may well want to go to the UN Security Council and ask for even tougher sanctions if they don't live up to their obligations under the initial, the International Atomic Energy Agency, a non-proliferation treaty. We've dealt with Iran differently than we have Iraq, partly because Iran has not yet, as Iraq did, violated 12 years of resolutions by the U.N. Security Council.
But wait, am I not understanding correctly? Didn't Bush declare Iran part of the axis of evil and a nuclear threat already to Europe and Israel and the region? Yet this is the vice president who says that John Kerry is weak on terror for saying that he will seek the United Nations support.
Yes.
And going, we're asking for the United Nations to support him.
There's a little bit of a contradiction there. How do you say that there's something wrong with a global test when you say Saddam Hussein failed the global test?
I don't know. It's time to pull out a weird sort of Republican policy person to sort of say something opposing that and just confuse everybody.
Well, why don't we just see if we can get Cheney himself? I mean, let's talk to our booking department and see if Cheney will come on and talk with us.
It'll burn my ear. It'll burn my head. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Margaret, how are you?
Hi, Margaret.
Thank you for the lovely comedy.
You bet.
And the lovely commentary.
Aw, thank you.
Mr. Edwards made the only real point that had to be made last night.
Yes.
Tell the truth.
Yes.
Two, Mr. Cheney acts as if it's virtuous to not be going for further public office. He need not be responsive or responsible to the voters of this country. He wants to go back to big business and loot our treasury again.
Like
looting and lying.
Yes, like he's been doing for 4 years.
He's been doing it for 50 years.
50.
Looting and lying. He doesn't want to get public office. He can't stand dealing with people.
That's true. He just wants to deal with money and contempt.
I have a question, though.
Okay.
Do you think that the man who runs the nuclear plant on The Simpsons is based on Mr. Cheney?
Well, that's a good question.
Matt will let you know.
Mike Groening. Well, we have Simpsons fanatics right here on our staff, and we will put that question to them in a moment.
What can it be?
Huh? It has to, of course. You're absolutely right.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Margaret,
thank you,
thanks
Margaret.
A lot. Wow.
She's absolutely right. Now, she made me feel stupid for a minute. I mean, 4 years he's been, you know, pillaging the planet for his own pockets and his friends' pockets as vice president.
Yes.
Yes. But
before that, obviously he was just.
Well, that's just it. This is a guy that did nothing. He was an ineffective member of the House, and he was an ineffective he's an ineffective leader of the House,
and he was an ineffective advisor to several presidents
because he was sitting there working the angles for himself.
Yes.
Let's take another call. I liked it. She was wonderful. I just used Mark Riley word.
Uh-oh.
wonderful. Randy in Louisiana.
Hey Randy,
good morning guys, how y'all doing?
All right, how you doing?
It's a shame y'all couldn't have debated Cheney last night. I think you'd have done a better job.
Oh, wow.
Two on one.
Hey, Randy, they slapped down that, a judge in Louisiana slapped down that gay marriage ban, huh?
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Me too.
I hope that he's got a lot of security around his house. Christian Wright, well armed around here.
Really? Are they? Do you feel physically threatened at times?
I don't really lose that much sleep over it. Because, you know,
he's not threatened. He's a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer, and I'm straight, and I'm well-armed. I'm that anomaly, a life member of the NRA and a Democrat.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
But I'll tell you guys this. I watched the debate last night, and on substance, Edwards was much better than Cheney. I think that Edwards came across really, really hot, like he was, you know, just dying to sink his teeth into Cheney, and Cheney did come across pretty grandfatherly. So I think amongst the 6 or 7 undecided voters in the United States, you know, Cheney may have scored more points.
Was your grandfather condescending and bitter?
Yes. Yes, he was.
And defensive?
A little bit. I think, though, that Cheney did. I must say I was impressed with how Cheney handled himself in that debate. I'm not going to change my vote. It's not like all of a sudden I'm going to defect and go to the Republican.
But you're saying that Edwards showed up for himself, and we got to go to a break, Randy. Thanks a lot for your call.
Appreciate it.
Be careful there in Louisiana.
Really? Tell me about it. Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Bizarro Pollock Comedy, a go-go?
Yes.
We'll figure that one out. Plus, your weekly trip to Xanadu, the War on Brains, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear and the communications equipment and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
I'm Bobby Lockett with today's Car Clinic Minute. Last week, I made heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, the final two horoscopes, Aquarius and Pisces. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Here are horoscopes for Aquarius and Pisces. Aquarius, water bearers kick conventional wisdom to the curb and groove on Lexus's RX 400H, causing tidal waves of excitement. This SUV, a full hybrid that morphs from gas or electric only mode to a combo of both, fascinates freedom-loving Aquarians, and its zero-emissions design appeals to their inner flower child. Pisces, fishes, the world's your oyster as you swim out of those scales and behind the tortoise-shell steering wheel of Chrysler's 300C. But unlike Pisces, this car has generous leg and trunk room, and a hands-free Uconnect voice-activated cell phone will really come in handy. Oh, and can you say Hemi? I'm Bobby Ligas. Ligas, you'll love us.
What's up, y'all? This Jay Bug.
Yo, yo, this Raz B.
Yo, what's up? This Lil Fizz.
Yo, what up? I'm Marion.
And we're B2K.
Right now, we working in the studio.
And that's a lot of work. When we go on tour, we perform live.
We have to know our dance routines, words to the songs, music.
And we have to be on point every time. Our music is pretty energetic.
I mean, it's a real hard job.
We can't look sloppy on stage. That's why we don't have time for drugs.
You want to get somewhere? Forget about drugs.
A message from Partnership for a Drug-Free America and MAP.
Visit drugfreeamerica.org.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
I can't wait till it stops. I want it to stop, man. I want the election to happen. Let's get on with it. It's 34 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. I hear it's a morning sedition program. Did I say that already?
I don't think so.
We are broadcasting live from the elevated bunker in New York City, the capital of the liberal agenda, or the liberal elite, I meant to say. Here we go. Since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 99. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Now, you may have noticed that before last week's presidential debate, we launched a major military offensive. And before last night's vice presidential debate, another major military offensive. Uh-huh, yeah.
And there's another debate Friday, so what does that mean? Yes, exactly. Very good. This is no accident. You may think you're fighting to keep foreign infidels out of your country. Nope. You're actually fighting for Sally Thompson, a soccer mom from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, an undecided voter who keeps a close eye on the war in Iraq. You see, if we win our battles in Iraq, Sally will think we have a strong leader who will keep her safe, and she'll vote for Bush, who will then win Pennsylvania by half a percentage point, guaranteeing him the White House for 4 more years. Yes. You see, Bush is telling everyone he's a war president. For that to work, you've got to have a war. That's where you come in. Keep shooting. We'll keep claiming that we're winning. Sally will feel safer, and no one will notice the enormous deficit, the loss of 1 million jobs, the desecration of our environment, and the wholesale robbery of our civil rights. Can't focus on that now. Why? Because of you. So you know what we want? Yes. Oh, you guys are good. We're going to fight you forever. Got enough bullets to last till Election Day? If not, we'll send you more. All right? Thanks, guys. Couldn't do it without you. Yes? So good luck and God bless. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation Day 95, 99. Live free or die. Thank you, Brendan. I appreciate that. Brendan was helping me out there.
I didn't know Iraq had the same motto as New Hampshire.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think maybe it's more of a statement. Jeff Kreisler, who is in our studio with Dan Ferraro, two performers from Bizarro Politicomedy, a go-go, embarking on a swing state tour later this month. It's going to be just as big as the Springsteen tour, right?
Easily.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Dan is the brain behind Bizarro, the syndicated comic that appears in over 200 newspapers nationwide. Dan's new book of political cartoons is called Three Little Pigs by the White House. By the White House. B-U-Y.
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 Yeah, buy, purchase.
I get it. I'm no stranger to the English language, my friend.
You guys are aware there's a hints of corruption in the Bush administration, right?
Hey, who's trying to...
My bad.
Wow. What do you think you're talking to here? So, where are you guys going? What's the big schedule? Where are you going tonight? You're in New York?
We're actually in Princeton tonight at Princeton University, and tomorrow night we're going to be at Rose's Turn here in Manhattan down in the village.
How many shows have you done?
I think we've done like I was
40.
I was counting in my sleep last night. I think we've done like 40 shows in 27 cities or something.
We started in Texas in April. We started right in the belly of the beast. We did Austin, which of course was friendly, and then Dallas.
Which room did you do in Austin?
Velveeta room in Austin.
That seats like about what, 120?
Yeah, about
it's a
that.
Little room. About 80 to 100, 120. That's a nice little room. And how was the turnout? Pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was
standing room only. We had like easily 123.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Okay. 123. That's good for that room.
Three guys standing.
Yeah, you could add two more if they were carried above the audience.
Yeah, well, we don't want to break fire codes.
So, Dan, you're the comic artist, and Jeff, you're a stand-up. I know you from L.A. and from here. And you got Brian Mallow, who's also a stand-up.
That's right.
And do you have a third stand-up?
Mike Capozzola.
Mike Capozzola, who I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I've met him.
You might run into work. Three of us are kind of San Francisco roots, is where we've all kind of run into you.
Okay.
At various times.
That's where I met you originally, in San Francisco, and then you were in L.A. You're one of those guys, like, not unlike a lot of comics, that, you know, all of a sudden you're just like, hey, what are you doing here? I know, it's weird, right?
It is.
And so, Dan, do you, as a comic artist, do you bring an easel up on stage, or how does that work? Here's my latest strip. Are you done with that panel? Here comes the next one.
No. I'm not comfortable talking in public, so I just sit in the up front stage there, and I draw pictures and then hold them up to the audience and have them pass them around.
And it's up to the rest of the comics to make up captions on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, that works. Right. Do you really do that?
No. No, but I do use a projector and a certain amount of visuals and stuff. My stage humor tends to be more visual than the other guys in terms of, you know, I have some gags that just come up on the screen and that sort of thing.
I'm not incredibly familiar, maybe I should say not familiar at all, with the Bizarro, because I don't know if we have it in our papers here, do we?
It's recently in the AM New York.
Okay. So I got to look out for that.
That's the freebie paper.
Okay. One of a few freebie papers. I will check it out.
That cartoon is brilliant. It's replaced The Far Side as the most brilliant single-panel cartoon, and that'll be a dollar, please, Dan.
Who are your inspirations as a comic artist? I mean, what do you draw from? What was the first comic to blow your mind? When did you go like, oh, dude, man, this is it?
I think it was Kliban, K-L-I-B-A-N.
Sure, I know that guy.
Kliban, some people say, yeah. That's the guy that really influenced me way back when I was in college.
He used to be in, was it Mad Magazine or?
Well, he was in Playboy for years.
Playboy, that's right.
He's been in a lot of magazines over the years, and I actually got into him through his books.
Are you a Han Wilson fan?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's good, right?
Yeah, he's very good.
What do you hate, Jeff? Rodney died, man. Did we say? I'm sad. It's sad, right?
A little sad. He was definitely a trendsetter in his own unique style.
Right.
I mean, a lot of guys doing derivatives of what he was doing now.
Yeah, everyone's doing a derivative of something,
right?
Aren't they? Wow, man, this is getting sad. What, did you watch the debates?
Yeah, we taped it. We actually had a show last night, and we taped the debates and got home at whatever hour.
And you checked them out? And what do you think? What's your thought?
I was a little surprised. I actually thought Edwards was kind of like a young, rabid puppy attack dog. Like, he seemed very overeager. But he was great. I mean, I felt like he clearly pressed the same points that were pressed in the presidential debate as far as the...
That was good. I like how you did that. You said something that almost could be misconstrued as negative, but because of the outlet that you're on, you immediately buffered it with... Great. That's good, man. It's because we...
Covered my bases. I have a legal background. I know how to say nothing with a lot of words.
You do? Are you one of those comics who didn't finish law school? Or?
Oh, no, I finished because... I know how much money we make as comics.
You made the right choice, man.
Which one, to be a comic or to finish law school?
To not go the lawyer route.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, at some point I may want children or three square meals a day. So
call me
in 5 years and let me know what's going on.
There's a couple of comics who were lawyers.
Geraldo
was a lawyer. Al Lubell was a practicing lawyer.
When I found that out.
Mike Platt, practicing lawyer. It's very funny because I've always thought that that lawyers were basically, you know, imaginative, charismatic, creative people that you know, didn't have the courage to pursue their art, and now everyone's going to pay for it.
It is kind of true when you see some of them up there.
Yeah.
You know, they have these funniest lawyer contests around New York now. Just it's not funniest anything.
Edward's not a funny lawyer. Very sincere, kind of earnest.
Yeah. He smiled a lot, though.
Yeah.
Through like gritted teeth. It was kind of nasty last night. I enjoyed that. Like, Cheney had the first answer, kind of his calm, little scary, devil inside monotone.
Yeah.
And then Edward just goes, "You're lying, and we don't like you."
I really do like what that last caller said. I think Mr. Burns was modeled after Cheney. If he wasn't, I mean, it's just a dead ringer.
Yeah,
it's
I think he's thinner, but definitely the same vibe.
Definitely got that same mentality. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good call. What do you think, Clutch Larson? You're a big Simpsons fan. Tell me in my head, you think that Mr. Burns character? He says no. Brendan, another big Simpson fan. What do you think, Brendan? No, you don't think so either? No.
Maybe Cheney was modeled after Mr. Burns.
Cheney was modeled after the original evil. And out of the primordial ooze, the great gods looked found. Okay, anyway.
I got a question. Why be political with your work? I mean, did it start out that way, or did you evolve into people that dealt with politics?
Well, I can say for myself that I've always been into politics. I think I'm unique among the four of us on the tour, and a lot of artists now that are kind of speaking out, I've always wanted to do political stuff ever since I started, which is, as Mark knows, other comics, it's a hard road. It's not easily funny. It's not an easy way to learn funny to be talk about politics. I've just always been interested in it ever since I was a kid. I mean, when Reagan was president, you know, I trusted him, believed him, respected him. You know what? I was
not
seven.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're younger.
I was young and I was fooled. And when I finally was awoken to that around 8 years old, I got into politics. And so that informed my art from the beginning. But I know other people like Dan.
I was actually not. I was like most Americans, apparently most Americans still today. I was not all that into politics during the Clinton administration, but of course everything was going great. So
it was just a party, man.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't uncomfortable, and it wasn't until Bush got into office that I began to worry about what was happening to what used to be our country. And like so many other creative people, I started trying to find ways to get politics into my work,
which is how
I ended up into this, 46.
So, I remember, you're older than me, you look great. What's going on with that?
His wife is young and beautiful.
Well, so is mine.
So is his.
Same woman?
Whoa!
But I remember when Reagan was in office, and I was in high school.
Yes.
I graduated high school in 81. That's when a little before that, all the punk rock started happening, all the tremendous sort of, resistance to Reagan and what was going on in South America and what was going on, with the Cold War. There was, so much, rebellion and social activism. And then after Reagan, it sort of faded out because a bit, and, it came back a little with Bush, but I've never felt more active. I used to be just a broad stroke kind of like social commentator guy, mm-hmm. but now that I do this, you got to read, you got to know the facts. That's the weird thing, is that if you're performing for an audience that doesn't keep up with politics, they're just going to be like, why isn't he talking about Putin?
Yeah. Well, that's what I found. I think
it's... Oh, we got it. Okay, can we save it?
Yeah,
that's it. Break. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sitting with us is Jeff Kreisler, Dan Ferraro, two performers from Bizarro's Public Comedy at Go-Go. They're performing across the country. We'll find out exactly where. Call us if you like, 866-303-2270, about anything that's on your mind. We'll be back with these guys in more 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert, live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, Dave Matthews, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. And well, if you're a writer, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM 8.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, what's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this, were you?
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act.
The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
What's wrong with them? 50 past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. With us in studio, Jeff Kreisler and Dan Peraro, two performers from Bizarro's Pellet Comedy A Go-Go, performing at Rose's Turn Thursday, October 7th in the West Village of Manhattan. The website is www.comicsagainstevilonword.com. Dig it. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Walter. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Population, 52.9% female. Look out, gals. The odds are in my favor. October 6th. The Bush War on Brains continues, and the news is bad. Not good. Bad is not good. And not good is bad. Exhibit A, George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind Act. A massive, inexorable force that seems to crush everything in its way. Or for those of you with a great society education, a juggernaut. Unreliable test scores, flawed diagnostic criteria, and shaky data are the ingredients of George W. Bush's educational scheme. His Xanadu, and too numerous to count, are the concerns raised by the Congressional Government Accountability Office, or CGOO, against this, the centerpiece of the Bush domestic agenda. But you already knew that, or did you? Unless you're one of them, one of the newly educated, one of the children not left behind. Now, this may be a little demanding, and I don't want to lose you, so listen up, pinheads. You can't use faulty data to decide the fate of schools. I think I could best drive this point home in a song, Mark. Have you ever seen a dream walking?
Not really, Mort.
Well, I have. Have you ever seen a dream talking?
No, Mort, I haven't.
Well, I have. Have you ever had a dream? Whisper, it's true. Honey, I love you, I do.
Mort, what is this? What?
Well, the dream was a walking, and the dream is a talking, and the heaven in my arms is you.
Mort, I'm married, and you're not gay.
Exactly, Mark. But according to your demographics, half of your echo boomer baggy pants, backwards baseball cap wearing moron fans lost their concentration shortly after I said Dateline. That's the true legacy of No Child Left Behind. I should have stayed in the SLA, man. I got more things done, and the chicks were wild. So until next time, Freedom Fighters, this is Donald DeFries saying, that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thanks.
Mort.
Thanks, Mort. See you later, man. It was great.
Thank you. I'm going to go into my garage for a half hour and wait for my duck to die.
Nice.
Wow.
Brilliant. Mort Milfington. So, Jeff Kreisler, Dan Peraro. So, the gig is tonight
Tonight at Princeton.
Princeton, New Jersey.
What's the name of the venue?
It's at Wig Hall on the campus.
Wig Hall.
And that's a free event for people to come check out. And also, we're going to be in a lot of places where you guys got affiliates. We're going to be in Columbus on the 17th.
Yeah.
Then throughout Ohio, Dayton, Cincinnati, Cleveland, maybe Indianapolis. We're going to be out in San Francisco the 25th.
Yeah.
You're a funny guy. I can vouch for these guys. Brian Mallow, I've worked with numerous times.
Yes.
He's been on shows with me numerous times. These are funny, smart fellas.
Yeah, we're all great.
Let's take a call. Hang out. Let's do some calls. Let's have some phone action. Arthur, how are you?
Hey, Arthur.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm pretty good.
I'm in Miami, and for the first time in my life, I got involved in a political campaign, and I volunteered to work at a Kerry phone bank.
Nice. See that?
And, I tell you, the first night, I had a list of people to call, and they were... The majority of them had Latin American names,
yes.
I figured, boy, I have a night in for me. And I was pleasantly surprised that so many of them said they were going to vote for Kerry or they were undecided. And, I mean, that's just totally opposite than it was in 2000. I mean, in Miami, it's a heavily Bush, area, because at least the Latin American community was.
Well, that's great news.
You're talking about the Cuban exiles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding that the younger Latin Americans, whether they be Cubans or from other parts of Latin America, are absolutely not for Bush. I mean, they just are totally for Kerry. I go into, various places during my day wearing a Kerry button, and I'm just waiting for the negative reaction, and I'm getting just the exact opposite.
Isn't that hilarious how self-conscious we are about that kind of stuff? I mean, I have a Kerry button as well, Arthur, and my first thing is like, wow, is someone going to bust on me with this?
It's like wearing a Red Sox hat in Yankee Stadium.
Kind of.
Yeah. Same feeling.
Well, I'm glad he got motivated to work. I think that's an amazing thing that we're hearing from a lot of people, that the voter registration is just going through the roof.
It's exploding.
Yeah, people are like, I've never worked on a political campaign before, but that's how worked up I am. It's actually happening. Democracy is starting to take root again. It's spreading like spores. Who would have known, man? Ben, how are you, Ben?
What's up, Ben?
How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
I just calling from San Francisco to say that... I have already seen the Politicomedy Dogo, and I love it. It's a great show.
There you go.
All right.
Twice he blew it. Unbelievable. Ben, how are you, man?
I'm good.
So I'm coming out there on the 29th.
Yeah. Hey, we got a show that week, too.
Yeah, it's going to be... Yeah.
I think the Squire Brothers went to law school, guys.
Oh, the Squire Brothers. I'm going to be on the show at Cobb's, man, with Kevin Rooney, the big stand-up comedy, the stand-up for your stand-up thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
stand-up for your stand-up.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, man.
Yeah, we're a pulsing town, we got comedy everywhere.
All right.
Well, listen, anonymous fan of the show.
Thank you for the support.
I love all you guys, even you, Riley. Never met you, but I love you, too.
Thanks a lot.
He's a good guy, Ben. I want to take this one call. Thanks a lot, Ben. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Dana. Dana, how are you?
Hi, Dana.
Hi, how are you guys?
What's going on?
I saw you, Mark, last night on Tough Crowd, and you were terrific.
Oh, thank you.
And you're much cuter on TV than I thought you would be.
Oh,
you should see him in person.
Thank you very much. I thought you'd
really,
be sick.
I watch Jon Stewart, and I'm usually too tired to get up and turn off the television, and I have to bear through like a couple of minutes of Colin Quinn before I make myself sick. I just thought it was terrific what you said. You really put him in his place. He was like standing on one foot, balancing, like he couldn't even keep himself together, and you were great.
Well, thank
and
you so
I,
much.
And then I'm a first-year law student, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And,
get out. So now...
I'm talking about the lawyer.
It's time to start a career in comedy.
Yeah, right.
Dana, we got to go. I'm sorry. We got to go to a break. Thank you so much for your call. I almost thought you were going to say I was cuter than Jon Stewart. That's what I was waiting for.
A smart woman, and she likes Marc Maron.
What do we got coming up, Riley?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, we're going to be talking to the daughter of the vice presidential candidate, Kate Edwards, who also was a Princetonian. Joins us, Planet Bush, the Palm Pilot, and there's another debate coming up later this week. We'll preview that as well here on Air America Radio.
You've heard it before.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Then.
I am the Edison Photograph, to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius, Satellite Fresh, it's on.
Is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. What a difference a month makes. Interim Prime Minister of Iraq, Iyad Alawi, is now painting a picture of gloom and doom in his country, citing increased concerns and worry about the nation's instability. For months, presidential candidate John Kerry has been pounding away at President Bush about the deteriorating conditions in Iraq. The Bush administration has frequently denied the charges. Last month, the nation's interim prime minister trekked to the White House and joined Bush in putting a positive spin on conditions in the country, but one debate later and a myriad of complaints from Democrats and some Republicans alike, the Prime Minister yesterday addressed his nation's National Assembly and painted a dismal picture. Prime Minister said the January elections will still take place as scheduled, but Alawi, who describes himself as a tough leader, is expressing doubts about the future of the country. This is American businessmen and others cite the ongoing violence as reasons not to invest in Iraq. President Bush treks to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania today, where he's now expected to give a major speech on the war on terror and the economy. It's a complete departure from what he initially planned to discuss. White House released a statement late yesterday while the speech was still being written about the change. Bush is explaining to do after two bombshell developments in the last 48 hours challenges the administration's policies with respect to Iraq. Both sides are claiming victory in last night's vice presidential debate in Cleveland. Democrats are pleased with John Edwards and his handling of Dick Cheney last night. Edwards threw the book at Cheney on Iraq, his 30-year government career, and economy, the education and health care issues, as well as Israel and others. In the final stretch, the Edwards provided this epilogue.
I have grown up in the bright light of America, but that light is flickering today. Now, I know that the vice president and the president don't see it, but you do. You see it when your incomes are going down and the cost of everything, college tuition, health care, is going through the roof. You see it when you sit at your table each night and there's an empty chair because a loved one is serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. What they're going to give you is 4 more years of the same. John Kerry and I believe that we can do better.
Democrat John Edwards at last night's debate in Cleveland. John Kerry has fired back at President Bush for accusing him of having dangerous policies. Kerry charged Bush with a blanket scare tactic rather than focusing on his own important choices to keep the nation safe. Kerry also rejected Bush's contention that both men had seen the same intelligence before the war. The senator also drew attention to comments from the president's former Iraq occupation chief, who said the Bush administration had furnished too few troops after Saddam Hussein's fall. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation is going to be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lockes with today's Car Clinic Minute. White, pure perfection. Well, you can retire that idea. When I come back, I'll color your world where the rubber meets the road. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800 500 8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Ebony and Ivory. Paul McCartney crooned about, what else? Tires. Believe it or not, the first car tires were white. But in 1864, a manufacturer aiming to distinguish his lackluster tires commissioned Joseph Binney, founder of the Peekskill Chemical Company, to produce one in silver gray. Chemists discovered that by adding carbon black to the rubber, they not only concocted a unique, darker tire, but also fashioned one that lasted five times longer than its pale counterpart. But the splash of color didn't fade there. Benny's company later exploded into the Skittles rainbow, known as Benny and Smith, makers of Crayola crayons. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Fire truck! Fire truck!
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, people who believe echinacea works, people who have read Roland Barthes' mythologies, man boys, women girls, good morning, all of you, poets. Nice to see you. Nice to hear you. Nice to talk to you. Obviously, I can't see many of you, but I can see some of you writing, because every once in a while, you know, my inner blog bitch comes out and checks in with the folks who are blogging on morningsedition.com. Get in the fray, people. Nice to see you all. And no, I'm not going to care about the polls. I'm done with polls. I'm done with it, Riley.
Good.
I'm done with it. You know
I'm
what
with
I mean?
It.
We're kicking some butt. We're doing all right. Edward showed up for himself. He showed up for the Democratic Party. He showed up for John Kerry. You know, Cheney is a crumpled, miserable cauldron of, you know, magma bile that just kind of, you know, he's just completely self-serving, you know, party guy.
Well, he is, I think, in essence, power man.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one way, because I'm not sure that the money excites him, and of course he's loaded and will be loaded when he is retired on November 3rd, but I guess it'll be after the inauguration.
He gets over $150,000 in deferred payments each year from Halliburton, all right? $205,298 was paid to Cheney in deferred salary by Halliburton in 2001, $162,392 in 2002, $178,437 in 2003. He also owns 433,000 shares set at a net worth of approximately $12.5 million.
But you know what? That means nothing if you can't give the order to shoot a plane out of the sky. That's the thing about Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney loves the money. I'm not saying he wants to be a poor person, although he says he came from, you know, poor background. I think,
but you know, he didn't even say that. He said he came from similar
background, you know, from John Edwards. Yeah,
that was like that. It's really hard when he gets human on us. You know, it's really hard when that.
When did that happen? Did that happen last night?
Well, he tried. Well, you even said earlier that when Edwards called him on, you know, saying that, you know, he.
I know you love your daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a moment where at least, you know, Cheney acted human. You know, and I speculate that, you know, once you have several heart attacks or open heart surgery, your connection with the heart is a little more
It's different. It's like, you know, you can, it's right there.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're constantly afraid that it's going to stop beating. But that's got nothing to do with his politics, and I don't want to give him more credit than he, I don't want to give him any credit, actually. I don't like the guy.
But you know what?
He's a cagey, secretive devil.
That Kodak moment only lasted about 5 seconds. I mean, he said thank you, and then that was it.
Yeah, we're gonna get into some sound from the debates. We're gonna later in the hour, we're going to talk to John Edwards' daughter, Kate.
Yeah. Who was up there last night.
I saw her.
Yeah.
I saw her on stage. It's so, you know, it always freaks me out, man, when I see these politicians, you know, backslapping after, you know, something. Like, it should have been like wrestling. It should have been like, you know, they should have went at it, and he should have left the ring, man. He should have left the ring. You know, the spectacle was done. Get out of the ring. Don't show us, you know, Cheney sitting there like, you know, hey, here are my parents.
Hey, how you doing?
Edwards is introducing Cheney to his parents. I mean, you know, I mean, what is that? I mean, you know, they should have just went to their corners and got out. You know, don't bring the families up. Look pissed off and leave. Do what you got to do, you know. Ugh.
But you know what else they need to stop doing? Yeah. And it's not them. It's the campaigns generally. Stop the spin foolishness after these debates are done. If I do one thing in my broadcast career, it will be to convince people to turn the set off as soon as the applause starts. Don't watch all of this spin. Don't watch all of this crap. Don't watch the pundits. Now, you can listen to pundits. That's different. But don't watch pundits immediately afterwards sitting up talking, well, I think, the balloons didn't drop on time, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah, for an hour.
Yeah.
They're still doing it. There's still a post-debate pundocracy going on right now on the television. This is like, how many hours ago was it?
It was almost 12 hours ago.
They're still sitting there going, I don't know. It seems to be quiet in the debate hall now. Yeah, the guy's cleaning up.
Yep.
Yeah, but how is he cleaning up? Is he cleaning up Cheney's side more than Edwards' side? I don't know. Maybe we can get someone down there. There's anyone down there to talk to the guy cleaning up under the desk? Was there anything found under the desk? That looks like, we'll be right back. This is important stuff. You know, no, I'm not talking about us, Chris. Don't
yeah.
Leave. Don't leave. You knew, right? You knew, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get this out. Some information. Voter registration deadlines in swing states. Wednesday, October 6th, Missouri. Okay, Minnesota.
Go ahead, do both.
Minnesota. You can also register in person on Election Day, and North Carolina, both Friday, October 8th are the deadlines, as is New York.
Yes.
October 12th is Nevada and Oregon. October 13th, West Virginia. October 20th, Wisconsin. You can also register in person there on Election Day. October 23rd, Iowa, New Hampshire. And New Hampshire will not accept national voter registration forms because they are New Hampshire.
Are they planning on seceding or something? Can we have them eliminated as a state or something? If you can't, you know, get with the program of the other 49 states, why should you get any federal tax money?
I kind of get ribs in New Hampshire. Is there a rib place that I can...
In November 2nd, you can go right on the day of the election in Maine. Also, I want to plug myself because I don't do
there
it that
go.
Much. Someone wrote in and they wanted to know, like, when am I performing in New York or in the New York area? I don't update my website enough. I need to get a website person who will update it for me. I have one, but I think she got a job.
Uh-oh.
Doing a real job.
Are you paying people for this?
I pay her occasionally, depending
okay.
on what she does. But I will be at Caroline's tomorrow night. I don't usually work on weeknights because I have to get up. I don't ever sleep, actually. I have... There's no sleeping. But Belzer, Richard Belzer, he really wanted me to do this show. He asked me personally. He's like, get Mark, and then he's on the phone saying, okay. Well, okay, so Richard, I'm doing a show. It's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Caroline's, and then October 15th and 16th, I will be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. If this gets out to anybody who's willing to make the trip there. I don't even know what that costs. I don't think it's very much because I think they want to get you into the casino, but you can go to the Mohegan Sun Casino website and check it out. I'm in the cabaret. It's a great room. I'm bringing a couple of, hungry young freaks to open for me.
Uh-oh.
This kid Oz and this kid Jamie Kilstein are going to come up and do the show. I remember when I was starting out, dude, when you got to go up, because, they're going to, there's a couple of things going on with this where, when I started out, I started in the Boston area, and you'd go and do these one-nighters, uh-huh. like two or three nights a week, and you'd have to drive the headliner, usually. part of your job was to pick up the guy who, a lot of times you had to pick up the headliner and drive him.
Opening act slash chauffeur?
But I thought that was so sad, right? But now I'm like, Jamie, can you drive me up there? like now I'm one of those guys, because I don't have a car here in New York. October 22nd and 23rd, these are going to be good shows. Because I think I might have disappointed some people. I was on a schedule to do this. last month, and I had to bail because I screwed up my schedule and went and did bumper shoot. I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City, October 22nd and 23rd. Go to the Gotham Comedy Club website. I think we have links on our website at morningsedition.com. And that's a good place because I'm going to do tight sets, but it's a nice room, and it's intimate, and it's reasonably priced. October 29th and 30th, I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, as Ben just said, he called, as part of the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2 with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, and a lot of other comics. That's going to be a kind of stand-up performance, and we're doing a roundtable kind of thing, interactive. It should be improvisational and funny. And Kevin Rooney, he doesn't do as much stand-up as he used to. He used to write for a lot of different TV shows. He wrote for Dennis Miller when Dennis Miller was good. And Will Durst, of course, is one of the great titans of political comedy in the Bay Area. And is that the right word?
Titans is right.
And that's going to be a great show. And as I said, we got Kate Edwards coming up. We're going to play bits of the debate for you when we come back. There's no misunderstanding here. I mean, Edwards, he stood up for what he believed in. He stood up for what we believe in. And Dick Cheney looked like the old evil monster that he is. And it was beautiful. It's 15 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology, is the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear and the communications equipment and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Mornings Edition, Air America Radio, broadcast live every morning from New York City in the elevated bunker in the capital of the liberal elite. We got a phone call from one of the people that's involved in this show. Shelley called us to kick us to something that has just happened on the Today Show. Am I right, Riley?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it happened this morning on the Today Show.
Shelley was passing along the message, and then after that she said, but I bet you Stewart already had it before it even happened. I'm sure the Daily Show already did it before it happened, because, they, you know, he's brilliant. What is it?
You're a hard man. You're a hard man.
I'm hard. What is it?
No, Russert said, Tim Russert, the host of Meet the Press on NBC, said that, in fact, Dick Cheney and John Edwards met on Meet the Press.
Of course they did. And they met, was during the first vice presidential debate. Okay, that's what happened last night.
Yeah.
He said that he had never met him. And that was basically to imply that the guy didn't show up for his job.
Yeah, that's exactly
Senate.
It. I'm the president of the Senate, and I don't know you, therefore you haven't been around.
But apparently February 1st, 2001, Cheney thanked Edwards personally at the National Prayer Breakfast and then escorted Elizabeth Dole in that thing with
when she was sworn in as a junior senator from the state of North Carolina.
And Cheney oversaw that, right?
Does that mean that he's the one that's a little shaky?
No, he's just what Cheney did was lie blatantly to pander to, you know, his base of uneducated people who operate on nothing more than fear and ignorance in order to sort of make sure they're solid. And he knew that no one would fact check him. And if you want to fact check Dick Cheney, as he said, go to factcheck.com because that's where the truth is. You know, listen to Dick Cheney. He said last night, if you want to know what the truth is, go to factcheck.com. And I recommend that you do that. Here's the Palm Pilot today. Ramon, like, you know, dude, I don't know what, you know, whatever, you know, sunglasses. Anyways, this is from the this president's schedule today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Kerry is a flip flopper. No. Soft on terror. Wait. No. French. No. Damn it. Nothing sticking to this guy. 7:30 a.m. Review last night's debate video. Wow, this Cheney guy really isn't very likable, is he? Is it too late to get Giuliani? 10:10 a.m. Discuss the war on terror and the economy. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Note, don't mention the war on the economy. We're losing that one, big time. 3:15 p.m. Speak at Victory 2004 rally, Farmington Hills, Michigan. Note, why is there a question mark after the word victory? 6:45 p.m. Arrive back in Washington. Note, why is there no one here to greet me when I get back? It was just one debate, people. 7 p.m. Rehearse for Friday's debate. Note, wrong war, right place. Wait, wrong. No, right war, wrong place. Wait, that's not it. Damn, this is hard work.
8 p.m., have White House staff bring me dinner. 9 p.m., still no dinner. Have to make it myself. Note, it was just one debate, people. 12 midnight, bedtime. Note, maybe I should use an earpiece next time. I'm sick of making my own dinner. This is hard work. All right, so let's hear some Edwards ass-kicking sound pieces.
Sound pieces?
I want some pieces of sound.
Well, the debate started out with Dick Cheney. Of course, he was asked the question about Iraq and about his linkage of Iraq and Al-Qaeda and
his
that sort of thing.
Persistent linkage, we
his
call it.
Persistent, his non-stop
his,
linkage.
His persistent lying linkage.
Well, John Edwards jumped all over him when he attempted to link Saddam Hussein, Al-Qaeda, the war on terror, etc. Let us hear from John Edwards.
Mr. Vice President, you are still not being straight with the American people. I mean, the reality, you and George Bush continue to tell people, first, that things are going well in Iraq. The American people don't need us to explain this to them. They see it on their television every single day. We lost more troops in September than we lost in August. Lost more in August than we lost in July. Lost more in July than we lost in June. The truth is, our men and women in uniform have been heroic. Our military has done everything they've been asked to do. And it's not just me that sees the mess in Iraq. There are Republican leaders like John McCain, like Richard Lugar, like Chuck Hagel, who've said Iraq is a mess and it's getting worse. And when they were asked why, Richard Lugar said, because of the incompetence of the administration.
Why?
What Paul Bremer said yesterday is they didn't have enough troops to secure the country.
Why?
They also didn't have a plan to win the peace. They also didn't put the alliances together to make this successful. We need a fresh start. We need a president who will speed up the training of the Iraqis, get more staff in for doing that. We need to speed up the reconstruction so the Iraqis see some tangible benefit.
What?
We need a new president who has the credibility, which John Kerry has, to bring others into this effort.
Why?
You're a cold-blooded man.
I love the way he says that. We need to ask why.
Why?
Dude, we got to take this call. I'm so happy this dude. He just called. I love this guy. He's going to give us some insight. This is President Bush's old Harvard Business School professor, Professor Yoshi Tsurumi. Good morning, Professor.
Hey, Professor.
Good morning, Mark and Mark.
What do you think of that debate, Professor?
Oh, it was great. Of course, that the... Edwards won in terms of both the substance, that's important, and the delivery.
Yeah.
Cheney was just the fidgeting and very condescending to that the moderator.
Yeah.
Repeating Gwen. And that the moderator finally realized he replied, you remember?
Yeah.
He's the vice president.
Did you see the Bush debate? What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, Bush debate, but I'm very happy because I've been accused of lying about my impressions of Bush at the Harvard Business School.
Yeah.
And after that debate, that no one can accuse me.
Yeah.
all the warnings and things I've been saying has to come true. Now, on last night's debate, a couple of points, and these points will be repeated for Friday night. So that I want to be
for the presidential debate.
Emphasizing it.
Okay.
First, on the number of alliances, Cheney and others say, we have organized 31 alliances.
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, you have to say, fine, you put up a few numbers, but besides the England, UK, the rest of us are country like East Timor, great country. So you have to say that. They're trying to say that the Gulf War, we had 35 alliances, now we are 31, so just as good. And I say, well, you just, you know, put up the numbers. But all these numbers are now just disappearing. Even UK pulled, I believe, 5,000 soldiers quietly last week.
They did? Really? 5,000?
Yeah, from Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And the Poland and the Australia are likely to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica, you know, of course, Spain left. No new ones are coming. So you really have to pin them down on all these number games because these are the liars. Figures don't lie, but liars figure.
Yep.
And those are the guys.
All right, Professor, we got to go. So what was the grade for the Bush debate?
Great.
Yeah.
It was, finally that many Americans have been seeing that the Bush is not fit to be president.
That's it. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thanks, Professor.
Appreciate it.
Wow. He's a tough professor. I'm glad I didn't have him in school. When we come back...
Wait, let me just... Professor, what's your grade?
The grade is F.
There you go. When we come back, Senator John Edwards' daughter, Kate Edwards, on last night's debate, Planet Bush and the Liberal Agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Service Dow Bob Report. I'm Jesse Russell. Next time you see construction workers or truck drivers, make sure you thank them for putting their lives on the line every day. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the construction and transportation industries ranked highest amongst the most deadly employment sectors last year. Of the 5,559 people who died on the job, 1,126 were in construction and 805 were in trucking. Those sectors were followed by the agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting category, with 707 deaths.
This Dow Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
This is for the next few weeks. Every water cooler conversation is going to be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Denise wants to refinance her home and get a little extra. What should she do? Find out next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Denise wants to borrow money to help fix up some things around the house.
We have a home that we've only been in about 4 years. We financed $63,000. We're down to about $60,000. We wanted to take advantage of the lower interest rate and get the money to do some repairs.
In the last generation, our culture has said, if I have a problem, I solve it with debt. Boom. And I want to get people to quit thinking that way. If I have a problem, I solve it with money. If it's a money problem. If the car breaks, it's not where can I borrow the money. If the car breaks, it's where can I get the money. Can I work an extra job? Can I sell something, have a garage sale? And to get in the mindset that we're going to be, you know, in really good shape so that when we need to do something like that, we're able to just do it with cash. If you're not there today, obviously it's going to take a little time. But again, we're in a go-go microwave culture versus a crock pot. And I'm always going to send you back to the crock pot. It tastes better there.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
A pop quiz for parents with second grade teacher, Mrs. Ridge. Today's quiz will be a multiple choice. Number one, the last time I watched TV was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number two, the last time I saw a movie was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number three, the last time I watched pro sports was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. And one more question, pass or fail. The last time I visited my child's school was A, last night, B, last week, C, last month, or D, none of the above.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Big ears, flat feet.
bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
I know, bloggers. I know that Cheney said factcheck.com. That's what he said, and it was the wrong site. What he meant to say was factcheck.org, but I thought it to be ironic and funny that factcheck.com is a George Soros site. I knew that. That's why I directed people there, but thanks for the correction, and I appreciate your diligence. Mark Riley, do you know what show this is? This is Morning Sedition.
Is it?
It's Air America Radio.
Still?
Yep. Do you want me to tell you what time it is? Because I'm good at that now.
Yeah, please.
34 past the hour. Didn't that sound professional?
Yeah.
Dig it.
You sounded good. You sounded more like Mark the Shark with each passing day.
Ooh, that's right, Radio Halliburton.
The right. God, you know, Halliburton might go in the radio business. They lose a couple more no-bid contracts. Now, you know, we're going to be talking momentarily with Kate Edwards, the daughter of Senator John Edwards, who was live at the debate last night.
Kate Edwards, I saw her on stage.
Yeah, she was on stage.
You know where I was? I was on stage. Yesterday. I was a tough crowd with Colin.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, it came off better than I thought. I never walk away feeling tremendous about it, but me and Colin had a good one.
Yeah. Now, what time is that? I'm never up when it's on. That's the problem.
Yeah. No, I'm not up either. I have to rely on people to tell me how it went off. But it's been really good lately because I've been really getting right into it directly with Quinn, and I like doing that. I'm sad that the show is going away. It is kind of a fun show, and it's challenging for me. It's challenging to come from where we come from, not get aggravated and be funny in the way that TV demands you to be funny, to have beats and to hit it and to get into the groove. And it was a good bunch. Charlie Viracola was on last night. He's a funny kid. And who else was? Oh, Corey Gahaney's funny. And Keith Robinson's always funny. Maybe we can get Viracola in here. But anyways, on the phone, the daughter of John Edwards, Senator John Edwards, just graduated from Princeton. We saw her on TV last night. Kate Edwards, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I saw you on TV yesterday. Now, did you actually shake hands with Dick Cheney?
I did.
Did it burn? Did were you like, ooh, creepy?
Did it burn? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
No, he was fine.
Oh, so you didn't get upset about the numerous times he misrepresented your dad's positions on the issues?
No, I never mentioned that to him directly. There wasn't really enough time for that because I think, you know, he pretty quickly walked by me.
Okay, you got to be honest with me. Did he have like a weird vibe? Was there like some sort of weird force field around him that you felt awkward around him?
It was a little odd. It was an odd position, of course. But you know, I sort of forced my hand in his face.
Well, I thought your dad was—he was very respectful last night, and he handled himself beautifully. How'd you feel?
Oh, I thought he did an amazing job, and I thought most importantly that he showed Americans that he was ready to lead this country.
Mm-hmm. And he also he spoke very well of his John Kerry and of the Democratic vision. I thought that he really. What do you think were the high points for you in watching your dad work last night?
I think there were a few. I thought. In talking about foreign policy and talking about the failures in Iraq and the failures in the war on terror of this administration, and discussing he and Kerry's vision, the fact that they can offer a fresh start to finish the job in Iraq, the fact that they have a real grasp on what's going on in the war on terror and how to really take hold of that, I thought it really showed this country what it needed to see from my dad and that he was strong, and that he is able to take on this foreign policy in this post-September 11th world. In addition, in terms of domestic policy, I enjoyed when he turned to Mr. Cheney and said, Mr. Vice President, I don't think we can take four more years of this kind of experience.
That was good work. But, Kate Edwards, this debate last night was a sit-down format, as opposed to the president, the first presidential debate where both candidates were standing up. Do you think either format helped your dad, hurt your dad? Do you think he would have been better off standing at a podium?
Oh, I mean, I think my dad's better standing. Well, against Dick Cheney, it's obvious that my dad would be better standing up. What he wanted was a town hall type format where he, you know, there were people in the audience asking questions. I think that's what he wanted. That's where he works best.
Hey, but Dick Cheney could barely keep his head up through the entire debate. Did you see at one point he was actually...
That might have been the concern.
He was holding his head. Did you know, Kate, that he had four heart attacks during the debate last night? And you can't even tell anymore. But I thought...
It was interesting. I mean, this was what the vice president wanted. And this is how, you know, the format that he had in 2000 when he debated Jill Lieberman, a format that he excelled in. You know, he's been doing morning talk shows, Sunday shows for 20-something years now, 30 years now, and it was clearly something that he was comfortable with. But I did hear Chris Matthews was talking to one of the advisors to the Bush-Cheney campaign, and they were saying, well, this is something that he's comfortable with. And Chris Matthews said, well, then why don't they just lay down? If they really wanted to be comfortable, I mean, it would be most comfortable if they both just were laying down, not just sitting down. I mean, there's no reason that comfort should necessarily even be the issue. And asked Tad Devine if we were trying to, if we wanted the standing up format because we wanted to tire out Cheney with 90 minutes of standing up. I mean, it's all silly. I think it didn't matter.
I heard the Republicans were also afraid that your dad, from what I understand, sometimes during closing arguments, he'll break into a moonwalk. Is that?
I prefer not to talk about my dad's dancing.
Uh-oh. Kate, there was a question raised last night, and it was raised specifically by Vice President Cheney. Actually, it was an assertion that he had never met your father before, a kind of backhanded way of saying that he wasn't around for a lot of Senate votes. Yet we're hearing now that they in fact, did meet on more than one occasion.
Yes. That was actually one of the
lies
of this vice president. It was just another one. It was just a silly political tactic, and obviously untrue. There are numerous pictures of him sitting right next to my dad at a prayer breakfast in 2001. They met at Senator Elizabeth Dole's swearing-in ceremony. I mean, it's just silly. And, of course, they've been on the floor of the U.S. Senate before. I think that it was very funny right after the debate. My mom actually went up to the vice president and said, "Vice President, you know, of course you've met him before. You've met me before, too. Don't you remember it was at the prayer breakfast and it was the Dole swearing in?" And he said, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. How come? Why didn't he say? Oh, that's right. Wait, turn the cameras back on.
Yeah, I don't think he was that into it. I mean, it was the truth, so I think it was something he was trying to shy away.
I saw your dad introduce your grandparents to Dick Cheney. Did their hands get burned or any sulfuric smelling of the vice president?
No, I think they were all right. They can handle themselves.
How did your dad, like, after the debate, how were his spirits? Did he say anything like, "Man, I wanted to take a couple more shots"? Where was he at?
Well, he was excited. I mean, I think he knew that he did a great job, and he knew that he controlled the tone of the debate, that he controlled the debate itself, and we knew that he won. And him hearing us say that. Him hearing us say that was very reassuring to him as well. And to be honest, I think he was a little bit relieved just to have it off his back.
Oh, yeah.
So that he can move on to concentrate on other things.
It's hard, you know. I mean, you know, it must be very draining to fight with the demon.
Now, it must be.
Now, my co-host here, Mark Riley, wants to know, how has your father successfully stifled the aging process?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really disturbing to me because I'm now aging much faster than he is.
Oh.
And it's very upsetting. I have no idea what he does. I don't know what his secret is.
So he didn't consult with Dick Clark or something, did he?
Dick Clark, the other thing, the American Bandstand guy, who is actually starting to age, Mark Rowe.
Little by little.
So you graduated from Princeton. What are your plans, Kate?
I'm starting work at Vanity Fair in November, I think, or after the election, and want to go to law school in a couple of years. But to be honest with you, it's so hard to look past the next 27 days.
No kidding.
Because we're just working as hard as we can for this time.
All right, well, maybe we'll check back in with you further along in the next couple
of
weeks. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kate Edwards.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Thanks a lot.
She's nice.
Yeah, she's
Kate
really
Edwards,
good.
The daughter of Senator John Edwards. Call us at 866-303-2270 if you've got something on your mind or you just want to chat with me or Mark or, you know, whatever. You know, it's 44 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
This week on MotherJones.com, dealing with the merchant of death. And you thought Halliburton was bad. It turns out that the Bush crowd has hired an airline company tied to Victor Boot, one of the world's most notorious arms traffickers, to run charter missions for the U.S. military in Iraq. Get the full story at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. Smoke RX has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, Smoke RX is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, Smoke RX starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
His size and his speed make him one of the most dangerous wide receivers in the NFL. And Keyshawn Johnson's weekly radio show, heard exclusively on Sirius, takes you inside the game for a player's perspective. Back to last week's game. What went wrong? What went right? Then previews the upcoming Big Sunday game. Keyshawn Johnson taking it to the house. Thursday nights, 8 Eastern, NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide.
That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool. Lifelong learning begins at your library.
What did happen yesterday?
Yeah, what did?
Mark Riley, Mark Maron here.
Where?
Right here, Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. That's right, 49 past the hour.
That's right.
You know, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we know someone from that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, Mark, and God bless you. It's a beautiful day on Planet Bush.
Thank you for blessing me with God. I
bless you again.
No, okay.
So bless you some more.
Okay. So you watch the debates, and it's pretty clear who won.
Dick Cheney looked so presidential,
whoa.
Just oozes a certain presidentiality.
He oozes venom and fire, sulfuric smelling gases.
Poor John Edwards. You know, only 12. No one that young should ever be put in that position. It was almost child abuse. Really.
Is there something wrong with the microphone? Edwards won.
Bless you, Mark. I love your spirit. I do.
But he did get some good points in about Halliburton, about the economy. And
well, here's what I think. Children really should be seen and not heard. They should have sat that little Edwards down at the kids' table and maybe gave him some crayons or something. He's an attractive boy and a Southerner, and I hate to see him growed up so bad and ugly and negative like he has.
Yeah, but what about all the lying about Iraq? I mean, come on. Are you hearing me? I mean,
what you call a lie, I call gravitas. Dick Cheney's years of experience in the military and his numerous combat medals make his decisions on Iraq beyond questioning. I mean, it's like second-guessing Colonel Sanders about chicken. Don't do it. A little gratitude really wouldn't kill you.
Wait, but Cheney, he got deferments. He didn't fight anybody.
Mark, think about it. With the American people, entrust the lives of thousands of soldiers, billions of dollars, and the freedom of a nation to a man with absolutely no military
they
experience.
They have. They have.
That makes me laugh. You can sit with the kids' table.
Are you hearing any of this? Neither one of them, Bush, Cheney, no war, nothing. What about the economy?
Well, Edwards couldn't possibly score any points on this issue, given that the economy is the strongest it's ever been in the history of mankind. George W. Bush has personally eliminated poverty.
He puts
food in every mouth. Our president,
you're
George
wrong.
W. Bush.
You're just wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong on everything. It's like you're not even lying. You're like talking. I don't even. What about unemployment?
Bless you. You don't get the ownership society idea, Mark. There's pride in owning things, but there's more pride in not owning things. You know, what you call unemployment, the Bush administration calls leisure opportunity, okay?
That's ridiculous. This is all BS. I mean, what are you? You're in a different universe.
Yes, bless you.
Oh, my God. What about last week's debate?
Well, presidential, only one more presidential than Dick Cheney is, of course, George W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
Poor John Kerry.
Come on.
I pity him.
He looked panicked.
There's a pity in my heart for that poor man.
George Bush was panicked. He looked annoyed. He was fidgety. He was losing.
Well, all right, then. It is annoying when you have a commander-in-chief
as someone wants to discuss your policies. It's undemocratic, Mark, and that's really what I disliked about it so much. It's so negative.
You're out of your mind. What are you looking forward to Friday's debate?
Yeah, Bush won again, didn't he? It was a fantastic debate. devastating, really.
But it doesn't have no Friday.
Bush won again. Four more years. It was a fantastic debate, complete slam dunk, and all the other sports cliches you'd like to do right now. I'll do them.
You're in some sort of strange. You're in some sort of strange denial. You're almost sociopathic. There's something wrong with you.
Leave the light on. They all hate me. Leave the light on.
This is what we're getting to. See, that's what's
stop.
Inside.
Stop. I can't breathe.
See the scared. See, now we're getting somewhere. It's okay. See, this is maybe you need help.
Please.
Maybe you need help.
Four more years.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Lawton. I really appreciate it.
God bless both.
All right. Lawton Smalls from Bush World. Let's get some other callers. Roman in Long Island. How are you, Roman?
What's up, Roman?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
The one point you guys haven't brought up
mm-hmm.
is really the saddest point of this debate.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Edwards won was he pointed out that Dick Cheney actually was having to trade his daughter for the administration.
Yeah, that was a profound moment, my friend.
Yeah, actually, I think we did bring it up a little earlier.
But not exactly in the way that he's saying. That,
no,
you know,
you're right about that.
That's a very good insight, Roman, that, you know, that what he was forced to do was say that he loved his daughter, say that, you know, he wanted her to be happy, which, you know, he sort of couldn't then do the party line.
Yeah, and he actually, when John Edwards finished, mm-hmm. Dick Cheney just sort of said thank you, and that was the end of it. He didn't even take up the whole 30 seconds he had.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
That was beautiful. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Eric.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I had an epiphany the other night watching the debate.
Great.
Because I'm down here in Miami, and we had the Dalai Lama come right before they had the presidential debate. So I had a book by the Dalai Lama sitting by the TV, and as I watched Cheney, I realized that he is the exact reverse of the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama is called the 14th incarnation of the Buddha of compassion, and Cheney is the, I don't know what number, but he is an incarnation of evil. I mean, maybe like the 13th may have been Rasputin or something.
Yeah.
Maybe Nero before that, but.
What about Hitler? Hitler gets one. Hitler gets one, I'm sure.
Hitler, he may have been 13th, Rasputin gets knocked back to 12, but obviously, I guess, like their ranking is inverse to like their numbering, because I'd have to say Cheney ranks above Rasputin. Maybe not above Hitler, but definitely above Nero.
I'll tell you what, Eric, why don't you work this out and
call us back.
But I think the primary observation is that Cheney is the anti-Dalai Lama, and I like that. Thank you, Eric, in Miami. Lacey in New York, how are you?
Hi, Lacey.
Hey, hi. How you guys?
Good. What's going on?
The other caller actually made my point, which is that Cheney really didn't have anything to say in terms of the gay marriage thing. He really stayed quiet, and I think that it shows that he's really split from Bush in that, and that he really disagrees. And I think he was just on the verge of coming out and actually saying that he does not agree with that position, and he wants to make his own position.
Yeah, well, they do give mixed messages, these guys, but I clearly Cheney was pandering to the stupid secular people.
Yeah, but you know what? Rather than go off message, he mm-hmm. stayed silent. That was the fascinating part to me. He was so keyed into the Bush administration message. He said, look, I agree with the administration's position, even though, personally, I don't agree with the administration's position.
It's like tactically silent, though. Is that the right word? Tactical?
Or are you talking about tacit?
No, not tacitly, but I mean, I think that there was, it was silence as opposed to be defending yourself or explaining yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is definitely a political move. Oh, there it is. That's the second time we got this fax, oddly enough. You've been listening to the whole show. What did happen yesterday? Anyways, here's the liberal agenda. What really happened? I wonder what really happened. Now it's time for the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. One, after Cheney's toxic appearance, point out Cleveland now qualifies for federal disaster aid. Two, call Springsteen, demand to know why he keeps interrupting the message with all that music. Three, new yoga poses, downward facing Bush, Carrie Lotus lion posture. For Halloween, organize Pagans for Carrie Midnight Graveyard Rally. Agenda, child care for working Wiccans. 5, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. What about a debate between the candidates' wives, man? They're only 55% of the planet. Hello? What did happen in here yesterday?
You're not asking me.
No.
Oh, good, because I'm not talking.
I can't. I know.
We're not
all
talking.
Right.
No. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, how tribes and families are shaping the Iraq conflict. Plus, Jeffrey Toobin will fill us in on what another term of President Bush would mean for America. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
You too.